B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Yo, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Happy Victory Friday to all across the Delaware Valley. And let the win override the frustration. Because like everybody else, I'm just like you. I have on one shoulder the angel. And of course, that's Carson Wentz. After he was the hero last night. Was fabulous last night in the comeback in the fourth quarter. And on the other side is the devil, that kind of encapsulated by Doug, and all the blunders and the horrific calls and the horrific game management. But ultimately, they won. So it's a tale of two games. It's a tale of two emotions that we can hold joy for a victory and frustration in how the victory occurred. But ultimately, they win going into a long week that's going to be the Cowboys week. And I'm happy. That's the takeaway. That overrides everything is that the season continues. Because you know why, guys? The season was hanging literally by a fingernail. I mean, the season was the fingernail of Evan Ingram, right? It was the hands of Evan Ingram. Because if Evan Ingram catches that ball, the game's over. And they lose. That's how close they came to losing to the Giants, a team that had no business being on the field with them. Look, that first half, the Eagles should have been up by 17. By the end of the fourth quarter, the Eagles should have been up by, 17. Instead, one silly kind of broken play by the quarterback, and all holy hell breaks loose. Right, Daniel Jones has that run, and from that moment on, the game changed. And the Eagles squandered all their opportunities. And yet, it happens at the end. Carson bails him out. He was fabulous during those two drives. I thought it was stupid, some of the play calls, but other than that, Carson was amazing. And that throw to Boston Scott. First of all the he can't throw short. Well, he hits Greg Ward on that play. Hits a couple of good short throws that resulted in scores and first downs. And then the ultimate, which is the Boston Scott throw. Throw into a 5'6" receiver along the sidelines. With that small of the catch radius is so impressive. It was a beautiful throw. It was a clutch throw. And I don't want to hear any haters today. I don't hear, he threw across his body. Oh, my God, that's horrible. I don't want to hear any of it. Because that kid, again, balled out and was all kinds of clutch on those last two drives. And again, he's playing with a ragtag offensive line. Once again, all he's got is Fulgham, right? He's got Rich Rod as his tight end. And Rich Rod had a productive day, which tells you about Zach Ertz, doesn't it? And how much you want to invest in that. You saw him just ball out. Yeah, did he hold on to the ball the one time? Sure. Did he throw across his body? Sure. But that's what you're going to get. And I have no problem with it. You want to be Brett Favre? Go ahead. That's the only shot they have to win is if he's Brett Favre. The only shot. The only time they successfully move the ball is when he's trying to ball out. And when Peterson's play calls don't get in the way. I mean, let's be real here. Last night, some of those calls, what are you thinking running Jalen Hurts that close to the goal line? What are you thinking? It's not going to work. What are you thinking? I was against going for it on fourth down. All right? I would have kicked the field goal there because it keeps you with, you want to go for it, whatever, because you're Mr. Go for it all the time. Fine. That's the play call? You want to throw it up to Hakeem Olajuwon? Are you for real? You give the guy one option, a fade? I mean, that's just stupid. Stupid. I mean, I just saw dumb play calls, dumb management. I'm sorry. I mean, after a while, incompetence reigns. And luck is only going to get you so far. I mean, really? Some of this stuff is absurd. It really is. Why would you, some of these two-point conversion calls, so let's have Carson roll out to his right with no pass option and Boston Scott as his lead blocker? What? I mean, the Hurts thing? Like, oh my God. Just stop it. But I will tell the devil to go back in the hole. And I will celebrate the win because they did win the game. Again, they showed resilience. Even after the Kelce dumb penalty, they came back and they won the game. And Kelce's terrific, and he's been terrific. And I want to give him a pass. It was a bad spot, and it almost cost him a game again. But come on now. They won the game. It was a great throw. It was fantastic. And they won the game, and they kept the season alive, and they have the division in their grasp. So every time I get frustrated by some of the stuff that transpired, which is the devil creeping into it, I'm going to push him away, and I'm going to go back to the win because it is a tale of two. It was a tale of two games. And it's a tale of two emotions today. Good morning, Tunis.
You're not thinking second level, man. Jason Kelce did it on purpose. Because they can't run anything within the 5-yard line.
Right.
So Kelce pushed them back 10 yards. Yeah. No, I'm feeling the exact same way you are, man. It's so quick. It's so easy to just quickly rip a lot of things that happened yesterday. Because there was a lot of things that I didn't like seeing. And basically, the ultimate story is, that was 2 1-win teams playing each other. And we saw a product of 2 1-win teams playing each other, one being 1-5, the other being 1-4-1. It was an ugly game on both sides. I mean, the Giants caught some breaks when nobody wanted to, you know, touch Daniel Jones, and he runs for 80 yards. Eagles catch a break when he falls down. They ultimately score. It was an ugly game, and it's so quick for me to grouse about it. But you're right. I mean, how can I, As an Eagles fan, or even just looking at the division as a trying to analyze things, they won a game, a divisional game, in an awful division where 6 wins might be enough to win the division. And ultimately, I won an extra football game. I won a playoff game.
Exactly.
And it's at home. And Carson Wentz only played in one playoff game in his career, and it was for a quarter. You know, I want them to win.
Here's the thing, is that We come on and we're like everybody else, right? Because what we want is we want the Eagles to win and win the division.
Yes.
All right? But there is a responsibility that you can't be just the result overrides what happened,
right,
what transpired. Because that's being dishonest.
Yeah, I mean, it was ugly yesterday.
I mean, that's a dishonest. It's being dishonest if you don't call out what really, you know, the incompetence that transpired last night.
And there was a lot of it. You know, you mentioned the play calls in the red zone. You know, you enforce a pass, a personal foul onto the 2-point conversion to get to the 1-yard line. And you can tell me all you want. Well, the offensive line doesn't get much push. All right, well, Carson Wentz is still 6'5", right? He still has a 6'5 frame. And we've seen him sneak things all the time. He scored a touchdown on it last week with a sneak, just on Sunday. And you're running a designed run for Wentz to go outside the tackle with Boston Scott as your lead blocker. That same 5'7" player that caught a miraculous touchdown thanks to an incredible throw by the quarterback. Clock management before halftime drove me insane. You had 33 seconds left, and you were on the 11-yard line, and you had 2 timeouts, and you took 3 shots in the end zone. I don't know. How about a draw play? Because they're probably expecting you to throw the ball. You have 2 timeouts. You can get 3 yards. You still have, well, and you call the timeout. You still got 1 more. I don't know what it is with Doug Peterson and holding on to his timeouts. You don't get them back. It's not like you start with 5 the next half. But they took 3 shots to the end zone, and they weren't getting anything there because this red zone offense has been pretty damn bad this season.
A
lot of ineptitude yesterday.
I mean, it was. It was 2 bad teams. It was bad football. I mean, you know, it's funny because it was going up against the debate and the parallels and similarities were just slapped in the face.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? They slapped you in the face. And again, you know, part of me doesn't know how to feel sometimes, right? Where I am ecstatic in the sense that we talked about how hard it is to win games, right?
Yep.
And they won, and they beat the Giants. And we expected them to beat the Giants, right? Like, going into last night, again, they had their way with the Giants in the first half.
Early, yep.
And I don't even know, to this, how in the world is it 10-7?
Well, it was 10-7 because you had, the interception was bad. Like, I didn't like the throw by Wentz there.
Without a doubt.
You know, that was on a second down, too, so you could have thrown it away. He still had third down. That's obviously what keeps him in the game. You know, you're right. I don't know what happened. Because at halftime, Jake Elliott misses a field goal.
Yes.
That could have been 13-7 at least. And again, bad play calling and clock management with 33 seconds left and 2 timeouts. Maybe you could have gone up 2 scores there.
Yeah.
There was a lot to it. And then you come out of the gate to start the second half with 3 straight 3 and outs.
Yes.
And that's why you're up 10-7, and that's why the Giants eventually go up 14-10.
Yes.
But hey, the Eagles came back and won.
Well, again, and that's what it comes down to, right? It comes down to they came back and won the game, right?
Carson
was a hero. He was. And I, you know what? And I feel great for him. I do. He has been through a ton. I know people don't want the violins. I get it. But how he played, he deserved to win. As gutty as he played. He went, and you want to talk about balling out. It's like, all right, let's go. Balling out. Just think for a second that he's got no tight ends, right? He's got Rich Rod, right? God bless Rich Rod.
And Hakeem Olajuwon.
Right.
And the Kroom.
Right. And he's got no running backs, right? Again, he's got B. Scott and Corey. Again, his B and C backs. His wide receivers, we've talked about this before. You know, and God bless Fogle.
Yeah,
oh my God, I love
good
that
player.
Kid. I love him. And you know what's amazing is that this team is so incredibly lucky. They might be the luckiest team that I've ever seen. Like, the Super Bowl was incredibly lucky. The idea that Travis Fulgham's a player, it just appeared out of nowhere.
Oh, Greg Ward, too.
I love Greg Ward. There's some guys that I love on this team. I mean, Greg Ward catches everything.
Yep.
He catches everything. First downs. that kid, like, think about this. You're a quarterback, an accomplished quarterback at Houston, right? He threw for 1 million yards, 1 million touchdowns. They play that system. And this kid goes, I want to be an NFL player. And he does anything. And he turns himself into a receiver. God bless Greg Ward, right? And that's amazing. It's beautiful, Greg Ward, what he did. And Travis Fulgham. I love those kids, man. And, you know, that piece of it, and here's the shame, too. The defense played well. Like, the first half, the defense played well.
Yeah.
Even in the third quarter, the defense was good. Up until that one run. And then things started to fall apart.
Yeah, the fourth quarter. They're lucky with the Ingram incompletion because Gallman was running right over them. That drive, when Evan Ingram drops the pass, they were running all over them. I mean, they got lucky with the Deion Lewis fumble at one point. I mean, nobody really, you know, they said that somebody punched it out, but I saw Lewis just sort of drop that ball, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Jalen Mills' interception, it was off of a deflection by Evan Ingram. But yeah, you're right. The defense doesn't really get much blame.
I mean, the problem was late in the game, they started to move the ball.
Yeah.
And inexplicably, they were starting to run the ball.
Yeah, Gallman is just. He's gashing him. He had two straight 10-yard runs.
Yeah, he didn't get a carry last week. And then, you know, somehow he turns into
Saquon.
Yeah, I mean, all right. But, you know, it's a shame because I thought Schwartz, he had some pressures. He mixed in a couple pressures. You know, Brandon Graham is another one. God bless Brandon Graham, right? Another one of those strip sack seal the game. But, I mean, they pressured. They pressured them. There's no way they should have lost that game.
No.
And quite frankly, there's no way they should have had to come back in miraculous fashion.
Yeah, they should have been up 2 touchdowns. They should have been.
Even with the injuries, they're a better team than the Giants. They just are. As the roster management, as banged up and as thin as this roster feels, they're still better than the Giants. And I, you know, it's funny, and I had this thought last night, even after Carson throws that crazy, you know, back across the field throw, and he's reminding me of Favre, like the interception was bad, right? And he holds on to the ball. But my takeaway, and I know this is unpopular, but I don't care. This is how I felt last night, is go ahead, dude. You know what? Go do what you got to do. Go ahead. Go ball out. Go be Favre. Go be, you know, just go play football in the sandlot. Because.
That's when he's best.
It is. Because you know what? I don't think he's well coached. I don't. His mechanics is shoddy, all that stuff. That's why you always need a quarterback coach. Even the great ones, they lose their way, right? Because you constantly need some sort of coaching. You constantly need some sort of foundation, mechanics, right? He's not well coached. It's clear. The offense isn't a good offense. It's not. It's not well designed. It's just not a good offense. And my only fear is that he had, like, he's got a chance to be a Favre light. But what's around them and what's and his own, like, you know, again, his own shortcomings, which you would use coaching for.
Right.
Right? Mechanics and all that stuff. Get in his way and he doesn't become that guy. But last night, man, let him take a bow. Let him take a bow. That threat of Boston Scott was fabulous.
Yeah, beautiful. I mean, he willed that team back again. And that's 2 straight weeks. I know they lost last week against the Ravens because of a terrible 2-point conversion play call again. But he brought his team back now 2 weeks in a row. 22 points last week, right? The 2 touchdowns yesterday. Carson Wentz has been putting his team on his back. And he needs to get more appreciation from this fan base.
You ready?
Man.
Fourth quarters. Here's his numbers in the fourth quarters. He's got 6 touchdown passes and 2 touchdowns rushing, 423 passing yards, against two interceptions that were throwaways at the end of games.
Yeah, the one against the Steelers was like a punt from their own, you know, they were on their own end zone pretty much.
I mean that's, I mean, fourth quarter, he's giving you 8 touchdowns.
Yeah, pretty good.
6 thrown, 2 by himself rushing. All right, let's get to the peeps. Let's see what you guys think. I mean, you know, again, if I stray too far sometimes, because sometimes incompetence bothers me. And there is some incompetence going on throughout this franchise. But they were able to overcome it. And that's the bottom line. And I don't want to lose focus that they won a game and that they have the division in their sights. It's Cuz Radio with Chews. We're just getting started on a Friday. All right, let's talk about Corporate Lee's. Want to talk about competence in making the great tomato pie. Doesn't get better than Corporate Lee's Bakery and Deli. So we talk about a football Sunday. It's one of my favorites. The tomato pie on a Sunday morning is the perfect for breakfast. It was always like that when I was a kid. They would get the tomato pie after mass, right? You go and get the tomato pie and fresh out of the oven. It was fabulous. And it sits out all day and room temp. You go back, get a slice, that sort of thing. Or you can eat it cold. Fabulous. The tomato pie. And nobody makes it like Corporate Lee's Bakery. Just fantastic. They have 4 locations for your convenience right there in Norristown, Limerick, Audubon, Douglasville. They do event catering. The food, all their food's fantastic. Desserts are great. You're going to love everything they do, but you're going to especially love the tomato pie. That's right. Corporate Lee's Bakery and Deli, my go-to guys for tomato pie. See more at CorporateLee'sBakery.com.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
10 o'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
The red zone is something we got to look at. You know, this is the first game where we struggled a little bit in the red zone. And credit the guys. We got down there a few times. You know, it's one of the things you can't do when you're down there is obviously turn the ball over. Can't have sacks, can't have penalties. And we had a little bit of all those tonight. And we were still able to overcome it. We're going to take a look at it over the weekend and be better there.
All right. Doug Peterson will address the media at 12:15. So we will carry that live. We'll listen in on the Doug Peterson presser.
They've been great in the red zone this year.
Yeah,
What?
You hit the drop. What? Which is right on. I don't know, dude. I hate complaining about him. He's a nice man, but I just don't understand some of his calls and how he manages the game. And, you know, he was late on the challenge.
You're talking about his arm.
Now, you know.
He's getting ready to play again.
Well, he didn't play the first time.
He's going to go, I can run this offense.
Come on, man. You know, whether it's the guys up top or whatever it is, come on, man. We talk about thinking quickly on your feet. That's been an issue with him.
Yep.
You got to get the challenge out. Come on, dude. Let's go. And I don't care if it's the guys up top.
And they have plenty of times. It's not like the Giants are, you know, how sometimes teams rush up to the line to get the playoff. No.
You got to let's go, man.
By the way, you want a stat to cheer you up?
Listen, I am cheered up. Don't get me wrong. Again, and I don't want to growl. I'm almost relieved because they won the game.
Oh, yeah.
Had they lost?
Season's done.
Like, there was a point last night I was so down. I mean, I was so, and it's probably the remnants of that emotion that's coming out now because I was pissed off.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was actually really, really angry last night. I would fiercely text in all, you know, my friends and my father, you know, cousin Joey doing the whole thing and you,
yep.
Tyrone, whatever. And I'm like, and I'm going off, right? I'm like angry. I'm angry because that game was in serious peril.
Yep.
And it didn't have to be.
And you know what, Ant? I don't know if it's hot takey, but I was thinking if they lost yesterday that the season would be done. Yes, they would still be in reach of the division. But what I'm saying is that locker room would have been crushed yesterday if they lost.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? Like the locker room, there's a lot of players that check out after a loss like yesterday if they did lose.
Yeah, well, now you're 1-5-1.
And you lost to the Giants.
Right. You will have lost to Washington and the Giants.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, you have no inside track. You lost all that.
But now they come back and win, and hopefully there's something there. But anyways, the stat, Wentz in his last 6-1 possession games is 4-1-1. And, you know, I know the one's a tie, but he again also willed the team back in that one.
He did.
So,
I mean, he's shown you that he's got a clutch gene.
Yeah.
He's not a lumper.
Yesterday was
we were wondering 2 years ago, what is he though? Is he a lumper?
Right.
You know, up until the last four games of last season. You know, can he do it? And you saw the last four games, you had a couple comeback victories. You remember the one against Washington, the whole thing, Dallas, whatever. And this year, he's shown you like he can come back. He balls out in the fourth quarter. His fourth quarter numbers are fabulous.
They're incredible. Yesterday was
a lot of those, it's funny. Think about the fourth quarter. What do they have in common? Those fourth quarters coming back and he's balling out. He's doing a lot of freelancing in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it's up-tempo and you know, find the open man. And it's not these awful vanilla play designs because they are vanilla. But yesterday was his first fourth quarter comeback down double digits. That's good. I get it was against the Giants, which I saw a ton of times yesterday. I don't care who it's against.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that doesn't mean that Wentz is... That doesn't mean anything.
Right.
I mean, what? You're down 21-10, all right? There's 6 minutes to go.
You're still throwing a 5'7" Boston Scott on the sideline.
Right, and Rich Rod.
Right, exactly.
Let's kick it off on the phones. Ian in West Philly, you're on 97.5. The Fanatic, Ian.
Hey, fellas, I'm excited about the dub. Straight up, man.
Yeah.
You know what kind of got me down, or it didn't get me down, but it's like, come on, fellas. You got Jaworski, you got the morning show, you got a lot of fans who are saying, well, we should have beaten the Giants by a lot more. Under what evaluation, from what you've seen this year, makes you think we should have beaten the Giants by a lot more? None at all. And so the thing that I'm excited about is just that we got the dub. I mean, Nick Foles said good teams win ugly. And the thing is that I'm not going to call this team good, but I'm going to call Carson Wentz good. And we won that game because of him.
Yes.
And I mean, I got two plays of the game.
Yes.
Major factors in the game, man. And here we go. So we got the touchdown actually before the game-winning touchdown.
Yes.
That whole drive.
Yeah, great drive.
It was a beautiful drive.
Yes.
It was classic football from somebody imposing their will and actually making it happen. Clutch. We wouldn't have had the opportunity to win the game. I mean, that was a huge moment. What were we down? 21-10 or something like that?
Correct.
I mean, a lot of teams, they get deflated. He came right back down, took barely any time off of the clock, and scored that touchdown. That was the drive.
He had that big play to Hightower, which was huge. And good for the kid that he comes down with it, 59 yards, and then he seals it. And that throw, that little Greg Ward throw was perfect for the touchdown.
Perfect. But then another play of the game, which was a negative play of the game, was going for it on fourth down instead of kicking the field goal. Here's the deal. When it comes to analytics, first of all, if you have a feel for the game, and know what your team has done the rest of the season and what our percentages on 2-point conversions and plays like that, you're not going to go for that based off of the feel. But I'm going to make an argument against the analytics Because here's the deal. When Doug talks about, oh, well, we might need to win by 2 points, so we go for it. Well, what if you need to win by 2 points, and that 2 points is actually from kicking that field goal? And that's how you win the game. A lot of these games that are close, they're actually won by making like conservative decisions like that, knowing that you might need that 3 points at the end of the game.
Listen, I agree with you. I thought the same thing. I'm going, because it was fourth and like two and a half, right? And listen, if it's at like the 6 inch of yard, right, it's the goal line type of thing, but it was a little further out, he had made his mind up when he ran Wentz on that quarterback draw, which is a horrible call, but whatever, and he had made his mind up to go for it, and I thought the same thing you did. I would have kicked it. Take the three. It's against the Giants. Sometimes being conservative, like you said, Ian, against a team like that, which you are better than, will pay off for you in the end.
But you know, can I just put out a message to all the Philadelphia fans? I mean, honestly, you have to be positive. You have to be psyched about not just any win, but this particular win, because they should have lost that game. And they came back, and I'm not some rah-rah guy, but these are, and I don't necessarily think we're going to win the Super Bowl, obviously, these are the type of wins that can solidify momentum and can help you throughout the rest of the season. Go Eagles, E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
Thank you, Ian. That's a good call. Thanks, buddy. Patrick in Northampton. Patrick, how are you?
I'm good, eh? How you doing, brother?
Good, brother.
Love the optimism, but you just saw a team survive a coach last night. That was, to me, is just unbelievable. Head scratching calls all around.
Yeah.
Couple positives. I know you got a lot of callers today. Fulgham, like you said, I love the body control. Like when he elevates to catch a ball, his arms just go out and get it. And I love that. Guy's a player. BG bailed out the defense at the end there, which is, because they were getting rolled two first downs on, I think, on rushing plays or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then they get bailed out.
Gallman runs,
drops the ball. I just, you know, and the first caller, the throw to Scott was amazing. It reminded me of the one he threw to Miles against the Washington team last year.
Yes.
Same exact
throw.
How
did he get it there?
I thought of you right away. I was like, that's a mouse hole throw.
There is
a window that is so small, and he just drilled it. But the confidence to throw it to Hightower after he got sacked, I think it was 3rd and 15, after he dropped the same ball, the same place last week, you know, and to go back to
that's a great point.
50 yards down the field and say, you know what? That is Brett Favre.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to throw it no matter what and just hope my guy goes to get it. So what that's encouraging to me, because I think if these guys can actually find playmakers and they can realize, wow, this guy can get him the ball and has a short memory and can put us in a position to win a game. But like enough with the Jalen Hurts, enough with the, I mean, it's just stop forcing it down my throat. Like,
oh,
that last 2-point conversion, I'm like, and it's so funny. I think everybody in Delaware Valley has these crazy text chains, but I'm like, what is this? Like, what are you trying to do here? Of course you're going to get an eligible downfield. You got half a, you know, your linemen are all 3rd and 4th, you know, team guys or practice squad guys. Of course they're going to end up down the field. Like, what are you thinking? It just, like, it drives me nuts. I hope, you know, to your point, I know we talk about it all the time. I like Doug. Doug's a good guy.
Yeah.
I just need somebody to step in and say, hey, you know, you can't call plays. You can't.
Exactly.
You cannot coach football. You can't know every situation and have your face buried in a chart. And he's got to be more involved in defense. You can't just say, oh, well, that's the other side of it. You know, I got nothing to do with that. You're the head football coach. It's the whole team. It's not just the, if that's the case, be the OC and go hire another head coach. It just drives me nuts. But
I hear you, brother. I do.
Yeah. Hats off to Carson, man. I mean, good win. I'm happy for the kid. I didn't get the cover or the over last night, which makes me mad, but I'm happy, Carson. I'm telling you, dude. That 2-point conversion, I'm like, great, 45, we're going to get it, at least half of it. Oh, my God. And then I see that formation, I'm like, yep, I like that cash on fire. But anyway, great show, guys.
Thanks, brother. Well, it was a pleasure. That's a great call by you. Oh, he's like, oh my God, at least I'm going to get the over.
When Brandon Graham stripped it, because I had the Eagles at the 4.5. When Brandon Graham stripped it, I was like, come on, somebody pick it up and run in the end zone. Fake kneel down. Pull a Buddy Ryan in and Randall Cunningham. Throw it in the end zone.
Oh, that's great.
Somebody hit it really big yesterday on the game. Somebody bet. All right, I'll give this to you. It went viral yesterday. He went Sterling Shepard, anytime touchdown scorer. Boston Scott, anytime touchdown scorer. Carson Wentz, over 247 yards passing. Bird's money line, Wentz, first touchdown scorer. He put down $100, won $46,000.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Incredible.
And what was this? Can you parlay these in-game stuff?
Yeah, so on FanDuel, there's the same game parlay.
Okay, that's what you say, right?
Yeah,
right,
so, I got you. So you can put all that stuff in there and parlay it.
Right.
So he parlayed that those five things.
Right, that was the, what's it called, it, which is great, in the Uncut Gems.
Yeah, what happens?
What happens to him? Garnett, give me Garnett.
Right.
Yes, that's great. Wow, $100.
Got him 46 grand.
Damn.
And he originally was in New York and had to drive over state lines to make the bet. So originally he would have got 52 grand. Well, by the time he got to PA, it dropped to 46,000.
So once again, it was Wentz first touchdown score.
Yep.
That had to be big odds by itself.
I'm sure it was. The Birds money line.
Okay.
Anytime touchdown score for Boston Scott and Sterling Shepard.
Okay.
And then Wentz over 247 passing yards.
That's wild. Check that out.
I'm happy when I see that.
We had a couple of the, yeah, I am too.
Yeah, we made.
We had a couple of, we did well with the props,
yeah,
right?
We did. We had the Richard Rodgers over in the yards, Evan Ingram over in the yards.
Tate.
Golden Tate to score.
Yeah.
Wentz to, I think we had Wentz to do a rushing touchdown because that's now 5 this season.
Yes.
Yeah. We had a good day yesterday.
We would know, but hopefully somebody took our advice.
Exactly.
Kyle in Old City, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Kyle.
What's going on, guys? I'm hyped up.
What's happening, buddy?
I'm feeling good. I just saw on Twitter, Brandon Graham is now third in the league in sacks. I mean, just think about that. What that guy's been through.
Oh, yeah, man.
Bust potential to Super Bowl darling to what, you know, people talking about potentially trading the guy. We can get something for him now. I'm just like, look at this guy. Time and time again. It's
you know what's funny? I think about this because I was an Earl Thomas freak, right? I loved Earl Thomas. He was coming off the heels that you needed a safety after Dawkins, right? And it was driving me nuts. But here's the thing. BG is still playing. And Earl Thomas has lost. Like, he's gotten better. And Earl Thomas hasn't had a good year and now is floating around the netherworld. I mean, you're right. BG, God bless him, man. He's a hell of a player. He's really done a great job.
And just, you know, hats off to Carson. As the guy, the first caller said, this type of, it's funny, like, yes, I wanted to win this comfortably, but there's something to be said for these type of wins. And, you know, this is not a 2017 team, but that thrilling victory against the Giants, what propelled that. This is what this team needs heading into the 10 days off for the Cowboys and then the bye. This team can get healthy. I think we can get Goddard back and hopefully Rager back, at least one of them after the bye. That'd just be so huge to this team. And I think, it's tough with Deshaun, but with these young guys, now with that type of comeback victory, that was 34 straight losses of when we had been down 10 or more heading to the fourth. Carson just showed, I mean, and for how much that was Carson's slander. He couldn't deliver in the fourth. He
oh, my God,
fourth.
Right?
And now
I mean, seriously. Yeah, dude, you're right on. Kyle, he was fabulous, right? I mean, and here's the thing I love about him. And I know it drives people crazy. And look, I get it. Like, there are times when, you got to throw the ball away. Or, you know, you can't throw across your body like across the field. But I started to think about it last night, and I was like, you know what? Bleep it. Go ahead. Go beat Brett Favre. I always wanted you to beat Brett Favre anyway, so go try to imitate him. Because ultimately, he's going to give you better, more big plays than catastrophic plays.
Yeah, it's so true. I wanted to make this point yesterday. I was on with Mike. I just think the one thing I'm worried about with this team, and not worried about now, it's just tough. I really wish we kept Malcolm. I think that having him, if we right now, would just be so huge to this team. I think he would have. He can really make a difference for rallying this team on the defensive side. Even though they played well last night, that's just one guy I'm looking back on. I wish we kept around and spent the money wisely towards him versus maybe someone else.
Yeah, that's a problem though. The money, and I like Malcolm a lot, and I agree with you, inspirational leader, all that stuff. But you got to get younger, right? Like that. Yeah. That's an issue. And let's be real here. He's kind of wasted on, like, they're not a Super Bowl team, you know. And Malcolm needs to be in a situation where he's a veteran team.
Hey, let's get it going. Let's get some wins under our belt. I know,
just get a playoff game. I'm with you, buddy. Good stuff, Kyle. Thank you. Appreciate it, brother. Like, ultimately, that's what it comes down to. Like, here's the greatest thing about last night. Does this make sense to you, Andrew? Because this is what I thought about immediately after that incredible throw. And I go, whew. You know what? The Cowboy game matters.
Yep.
That's what I immediately went to. Because I'm going to be so amped up for that game. So excited for that game. And to me, that's all that matters. Sunday Night Football, and the game is saved. The season saved. The division saved. Because had they lost last night and they were an Engram drop away from L, we'd be in hell. Cuz Radio with the Chewiness. All right, listen, I got a life-saving message for you from the Colorectal Cancer Alliance. Now, the pandemic changed our way of life, but we still have control over our health, especially when it comes to colorectal cancer. This disease is often preventable with screening and highly treatable when caught early. Still, 1 in 24 will be diagnosed with this disease in their lifetime, and it's the second leading cause of cancer deaths in the United States, when men and women are combined. If you're over 45, get screened. If you're experiencing symptoms, get screened right now. Screening is safe. Some tests can be done at home. Visit quiz.getscreened.org to find the testing options right for you. Remember, colorectal cancer can often be prevented. And if it's caught early, you got a 90% chance of survival. Getting screened is important. It's vital. It's safe. You have options. Take control. Get checked now. Don't procrastinate. Visit quiz.getscreened.org. Again, quiz.getscreened.org.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello.
All right, 11 o'clock across the Delaware Valley. Cuz Radio with Chewiness hanging out. Listen, it's funny, the emotional roller coaster. And that's what I think about, because I'm still on it. I'm still on this roller coaster, up, down, up. Down, up, Carson Wentz, up, Carson Wentz to Boston Scott, up, they're good, they're gonna win the division, up, they saved the Dallas game, down, how it all transpired. Damn. Evan Engram drops the ball, could have sealed the game. Damn. How in the world did they fall behind 21-10 and we're about to lose the game? Down some of the decision-making throughout the game by Doug. You know, it's funny. Back up when I think about the grand scheme of the season being saved. You understand, Tunis?
I do. I got 7 words for you.
Okay, don't worry about it. Enjoy the win, man.
Yes, I remember those words.
That's about 8 or 9. Yeah, there you go.
I remember those words. And it goes back to, well, it's hard to win a game. And winning a game, when you win, no matter what happens, you got to enjoy it.
You don't think that locker room was buzzing yesterday?
Well, yeah, it should be. But listen, here's the problem we have, right? It's the primary issue with the sports fan. As a sports fan, we go into this thing, it's a passive endeavor. You got no control, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So because you have no control, you're watching with all these emotions because you can't control. It's not you're not a part of it. You're a passive onlooker, right? If you're a passive onlooker, you got no control. So that's frustrating. And so when you see things like play calls or decisions that you would do differently, mm-hmm. you automatically get frustrated because you're not, you know, wearing a headset like Doug or have the chart in front of you like Doug. And that frustrates you because you have no control of the situation because the whole thing is a passive experience where you are just a passenger, an onlooker. Now, if you're a participant, that's what Andy never got, right? The participant versus the onlooker. And we view things two different ways. Yeah, man, if I'm in the game or I'm coaching the game, I don't care. We almost lost it. We won it. We won the game. Carson bailed us out. That's what it's supposed to be. And that's exciting.
Yes.
And I can feel it. But it's hard because we, who have no control over the situation, we have, and again, it's human nature, to look beyond just the game and look at the big picture. When you're a participant, you're in the muck, right? You're not looking from 50,000 feet. We look from 50,000 feet because we go, all right, well, you get the Cowboys, we go through the schedule, you go, how good are they? Well, they almost lost here, they almost lost there. What about? So we come from it from two different angles. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. And I'll simplify it for everybody. The Eagles, we think, could win the division with 6-9-1 record, correct? Right? 6-9-1 could be good enough.
Yeah, but 7-8-1 gets it.
All right. You need at least 4 more wins.
Yeah.
And you got 1 more against the Giants, 2 against that awful Cowboys team, and 1 more revenge factor against the Washington football team. That's 4 games that you should win.
Right.
You need 4 more wins, at least. You want to lock it in with 7-8-1, that's fine. It's going to be a tough schedule still, because you got the, you know.
Again, if you sweep the division, like you said. And here's the thing. I actually feel better about the Giant game in 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Yeah, because of the bye.
Because of how close this game was. And people have said this. I heard this yesterday. I heard it listening to Mike, too. People go, well, I don't understand why you would think the Eagles are, you know, 7 to 10 points better than the Giants. Well, I think it played out. You saw a marked difference.
Yeah, it should have been.
In the two teams' abilities.
Right.
The Eagles had to squander opportunities. But come on, let's face it. There was a flukeness about the Giants' offense.
Well, you know what that game was reminiscent of?
Daniel Jones just somehow breaks free.
Yeah, for 80
like,
yards.
That's a fluke.
But that game was very reminiscent of the Washington football team week one. Dwayne Haskins did not throw for 200 yards. Daniel Jones yesterday threw for 187 yards. It's not like he was gashing your defense.
Yes.
The only difference was it's not like they started with great field position five different times like Washington did in week one because of all those turnovers. So, you know, this time you pulled it out and you won.
Yes.
And I feel good too.
Totally. Let's go to Brett. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Brett. Yo, Brett. Brett's not there. Let's go to Dustin. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dust.
Yo, man.
Yo, Dust.
What's up, brother?
What's happening, buddy?
So, it's been 2 years since I've been to Fandom Confession. I only confessed my sins from last night, Father.
What did you do, my son?
I walked out of stadium with 5 minutes left. Yeah, I did.
It's
funny you mention it. You can't control things. The one thing I know I could control was getting to bed before 1 o'clock. That was one thing I know I could control that night. Like, dude, it was so strange, bro. So strange.
Yeah, tell me about, do me a favor.
Yeah.
Explain to me, because I haven't been down there. What was it like last? Like, what was that whole experience like?
Okay, so, I mean, going into the game, there's no line whatsoever. The vibe I got, well, first of all, I couldn't wait to walk up the steps. That's like my favorite part of going into a game. That moment you're excited for the
game. Yeah, I love that too.
You get to the top of the steps, you finally see the field. Like, I was looking forward to that. It was great. But once you're in there, it's like the freaking Twilight Zone, bro. There's like barely anybody in the stadium. Like, if we're in a rut in a game, sometimes I'll take a walk. I'll leave my seat and I'll just take a walk in the concourse area. Absolutely nobody there. Tumbleweeds were growing across the concourse area. You could probably find like maybe 20 people around you in like, you know, 100-foot radius when you're in that area. But being at the seat, it felt like I was at a D3 like football game. Everybody's relaxed. I'm laying out like I'm in a movie theater with my feet on the seat. I don't have to stand up to watch the game. I was just lounging most of the game. And that felt very weird. But then again, I'm like, I kept telling myself, this is a legit regular season NFL football game I'm watching right now. Like this is strange. Like, what, 5,000 people in there? I could hear Giants fans chanting, "Let's go Giants" from up top. I know people that shut them up eventually at the end of the game, listening to them and all that stuff, but it felt so weird that maybe 3-4 times I could count throughout that game where I could hear "Let's go Giants" and I'm like, this is ridiculous. I've never witnessed or heard this in my life.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that whole part was just absolutely strange, but you know what? Carson Wentz, bro, you balled out, dude. I tip my hat to you, my man. I mean, I don't know who's the problem is, him or Doug, play call and whatnot, some stupid stuff going on. The Harry High School stuff with Jalen Hurts is ridiculous. Just throw it away. I don't understand that when it comes to Doug and all the red zone and 2-point conversions is ridiculous. But you know what? A win is a win, like I said, and let's just go on to the next game and 1 week at a time. But dude, it was so strange. That's why I went last night. I wanted to experience and see what it was like.
Sure.
It was one hell of an experience, man. I'll tell you that much.
Wow.
I'm just glad the Birds pulled out the W, and I'll forgive myself for my sins from last night.
There you go. You're absolved. I'll give it to you. You're absolved,
thank you,
buddy. All right,
thank
brother.
You,
good stuff, Dust. Take it easy. That had to be strange being there, because I can't imagine. Like, you, that few people, Andrew. And, like, you can hear the other fans, and it's weird because it's not the normal Link experience.
Yeah, normally, if somebody started a Let's Go Giants chant, the amount of boos surrounding that section of Giants fans would wash away any Let's Go Giants chant.
Right.
But to Dustin's point, you know, it's the way they're bubbling up the sections where you're not all on top of each other. I'm sure it's a little bit louder, these Let's Go Giants chants.
Sure. Sure. It's got to be strange, too. Like, just the whole.
Oh, you're sitting next to cutouts?
Right.
How weird is that? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Hey,
it's B-West.
Piece of cardboard next to me. Like, if you get angry, are you punching the cardboard?
Yeah.
I may punch things when I'm angry.
Yeah.
Normally when I'm drunk.
Yeah.
if a cardboard was smiling at me and the Eagles were losing in the fourth quarter to the Giants, which they were, the cardboard might have a fist in its face, no matter who it is.
Yeah. That's pretty funny. Let's go to Sammy in Burlington. Sammy, you're on 97.5 Fanatic.
Hey, what's up, man? It's Danny from Burlington.
Oh, hey, Danny. How you doing, pal?
Good, and look, man, I think Wentz is actually basically the heart and soul of this team has been carrying him. I think last night, I really looked at his form, man. He was slinging it last night. Besides that interception to Bradbury in the end zone, man, every single one of his passes were like lasers.
Yes,
and
I agree.
And I mean, how can people trash this team when you got third offensive linemen and you got no tight ends, you got no running back, you're on your third, fourth, fifth receivers, like you got three linebackers that should be on special teams, and it's like. We always beat the best defense in the league in the Ravens by 2 points. And the week before that, we gave another good team a shot for their money with backups playing the entire team. Like, let's be real. When this team gets healthy towards the end of the year and we make the playoffs and we're possibly back to 75% healthy, there's a good shot this team could actually do something. Do you feel that way, Ant?
No. I don't, I mean, well, depends on what, can they win a game? A playoff game? Maybe. I mean, you're at home. So if it's Nick Foles coming in, the Bears, so I'll take it back, Dan. Yeah, could they beat the Bears? Yes. Yes. The offensive line intact, I'm worried about Lane Johnson. It's been a whole year of this, right? So I'm worried about him. But if you can protect Carson, you said something that, Danny, that I think is dead on. He's out there slinging it, man. He's playing his heart. He's balling. He looks like, you know, Favre, right? He reminds you of that, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, Wentz is the real deal. You got to give it to him, man.
Thank you.
You know, the injuries with the MVP season. I mean, all that prayers for Dak. Where was all that sympathy when Carson broke his leg in his MVP season? My point is that
wow, that's a great point.
A tough baller, he never gives up on the play.
Yeah, I'm with you.
He rushes for 20 yards. He's an awesome quarterback. He's smart. He has the respect of the team. I mean, Colin Cowherd said it's the best, man. Colin loves Carson Wentz. I mean. He's just like, I just got a lot of faith.
You said it, Danny. Listen, I love it. I love your call, man. Good stuff, man. Thank you, brother. Thanks, man. I mean, look, he does. He reminds, if you look at what he does, think about this for a second, right? Think about all the Carson detractors. And if you're one of them, I want you to think about what you've seen. Say, take Daniel Jones. Yeah. Like, I know there are a couple of negative plays that he does, that Carson did, which I've pointed out.
Mm-hmm.
Is Daniel Jones going to make the throws that Wentz does?
No.
Is he going to make the plays scoring? And Daniel Jones could move, right? So I'm running 80 yards, whatever. Is he going to do the athletic things that Wentz does?
No.
No,
he's not. I mean, how many times did we see Wentz spin out of sacks again? Now, Daniel Jones did a couple times where he escaped sacks, but...
No. Just watch Daniel Jones and watch Carson Wentz.
Oh, you're right. You're spot on.
I mean, and there was all these talk. He's the worst quarterback in the division.
Yeah, that's
He's
awful.
The worst quarterback in the league. I mean, I heard just ridiculous stuff being said. And if you actually just take the eye test, please look at him versus other quarterbacks. All right, you know what? He's not Mahomes.
No.
And he doesn't have Tyreek Hill, and he doesn't have, you know, Mecole Hardman and Sammy Watkins, Kelsey, and Edwards-Helaire, and now Le'Veon Bell, and a real offensive line. They were a little dinged. He don't have any of that.
No.
Right? He's got...
Sua Opeta. He played left guard for you yesterday.
Right. And he's got Greg Ward... And he's got, you know, Travis Fulgham.
It's the little Giants.
And he's got Rich Rod.
It's the movie The Little Giants. They had the one good player who was the quarterback and all the other guys.
The icebox.
Yeah. And you got Carson and all the other guys.
So come on. I that's what I want to.
I mean, so we got a tweet early in the show.
I bet we did.
From Ziggy. And he's a great tweeter to the show. He tweets all the time. But he tweets at 10:20 this morning. Please ask Cuz something. When will he stop defending Carson? Give it up, bro. He sucks. Love the show. And I go, he sucks.
Zig.
What?
I don't understand that, Zig. How could you say he sucks?
Like, sucks is Mullins the other week.
Right.
That sucks.
Well, that's my point. How could you actually watch the sport for as long as you've watched? Well, my guess is Ziggy's watched football for a long time, or his whole life. There's something beyond that Wentz turns people off, because they can't just look at him play the sport. Again, yeah, does he do things that you go, dude, throw the ball away, or dude, how come you're doing that?
Don't throw cross field. Yeah, I got you.
All right. But again, you can't quantify what it's like behind an offensive line where you have different starters every week, with receivers where you have different starters every week. You can't quantify the impact that has. Like, Zig, I'm begging you. You got to take all this into account. And then you watch the pride in which he plays. He never gives up on a play.
Nope.
He plays with valor. Yeah, you could say.
Sometimes to a fault.
Yeah, you could say. But now I'm so on the other side now.
Right.
Where I go, I don't care. You got nothing, go play.
Be Favre.
Go be Favre. I don't care. You're going to throw two picks in the end zone? People talked about they used to kill Favre. Ah, you know what? What about all those heroic throws? And that's what Wentz does. He's just like that. He idolized Favre his whole life.
Yep.
And he's trying to be him. And you know what? I'm all right with it.
Because I can.
I'm all right with it. I've always wanted that, so I'm all right with it. Just please, if you're not okay with it, I understand. Just don't tell me he stinks. All right? Don't tell me he sucks, because that's not accurate. And if you really believe he sucks, then you got to find another sport. And I say that with all due respect. You can't look at him and think he sucks and then actually watch the sport. Watch other teams play. Watch other quarterbacks. You can't have that opinion. If you don't like them, hey, that's your prerogative. I understand that. And sometimes that agenda colors how you look at a player. I understand that. That's human nature. But you can't say he sucks and actually believe he sucks, because he does.
No, he does not suck. You see quarterbacks that suck. We've seen it in the city, quarterbacks that have sucked. I don't know. I was young, but is Carson Wentz Bobby Hoying?
Of course not.
You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing here? Is Carson Wentz Kevin Cobb?
Again, we know what we're looking at in Philadelphia. And that's why I don't believe Ziggy when he say, give it up, bro. He sucks. Come on, dude. And I won't give it up. I'm sorry. I think the dude, go ahead. I'm even more entrenched. Yeah, go beat Brett Favre, brother. I love you. You pulled out a game last night. They had no business winning when it was 21-10. No business winning that game last night. None. 610-632-0975. That's how you reach us. I see one open line. Cuz Radio with Chew is hanging. Listen, let me tell you about Gold Nugget Jewelers, because this might be the time where you're thinking about getting engaged. Holidays coming up. We got a week out from Halloween. And you know, when that hits, boom, we're on the road, right? We're on the road when that hits. Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, and you're thinking about getting engaged. A lot of people look at the holidays as the perfect time to get engaged. You got to go see my man, Yaron, at Golden Nugget Jewelers. Yaron's going to hook you up. All right? Because I know he did it with my father. I've known him for years. Great dude. Great dude. And he knows diamonds, right? So what do we know about? I don't know, unless you're an expert. Clarity and cut and, you know, you go, wait a second. What do I know about carat? And what's the right thing? What about the setting and all that sort of thing? Guess what? Your own nose. He's going to take great care of you. He's going to help you find the perfect match for your perfect match. They got major financing options, unbeatable prices. They have all the name brands like Verraggio and Sicori. You're going to find the perfect diamond without breaking the bank. All right? It's the spot. Go check them out. 8th and Chestnut. Or call them 215-925-2777. 215-925-2777. Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Gosh, it went great.
All right, welcome back. Our 11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. Don't forget the Peterson Presser at 12:15. Let me ask you a question. All right, actually, let me get you to respond to this statement. Ricky A. All right. Ricky A says, cuz we expect more out of Wentz. That dude Izzy is dead wrong. He doesn't suck. However, he's a little better than average, and that's not good enough for Philly. Sorry.
All right. So are we looking at stats? Is that what we're doing, Ricky A? Because let me just throw this out there. He had 2 touchdown passes last week, right? Could have been 4 if Hightower and Sanders don't drop pillows, right? Like, right. Hightower's was a pillow down the sideline. Sanders was a pillow in the end zone. Just last night, was that cross field throw good? No. Was that interception to Hightower in the end zone good? No. You got to throw that ball away. But did he not, again, will his way to another fourth quarter comeback? 2 touchdowns, no picks, with an offensive line. Lane Johnson going on and off the field. Brett Toth coming, or Matt Pryor, excuse me, coming into the game. Matt Pryor stinks. Sua Opeta, he's a puppy. What do I know about Sua Opeta? Jason Kelsey's the only healthy guy on that line, and he's been contemplating retirement for the last 3 years. Jordan Mailata is a 7th round pick who played rugby 3 years ago. Herbig was not supposed to start this season, but was all of a sudden given the right guard spot after a week of practice. Am I crazy to think that what's around him isn't all that great? And maybe if it was a little bit better, that 2 touchdown performance for 359 yards, mind you, could have been maybe 4 touchdowns for 400 yards.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's where you got to have perspective. Ricky A adds, well, especially a top draft pick. What's around him? I mean, seriously, how do you not? People can say, I'm tired of excuses, but it's reality. What's around the kid?
I mean,
it's like Toot says on a text board, Ricky A's a J.O.
Yes.
Right? Like, that's the bottom line. What are you talking about? A little bit better. He's a little bit better than average. With who? Who's blocking for him? Who's he throwing to? How many times does he have? His running back, his lead back is Boston Scott. I mean, how do you take that out of the equation?
I almost want to kind of look this up and look at the quarterbacks that have been drafted in the first round, because he's complaining about being a top pick, correct? So let's just look at where do I want to start? I'll go after the Andrew Luck, Robert Griffin draft. So in 2013, here are your first two quarterbacks drafted in 2013. EJ Manuel, 16th overall, and Geno Smith. All right, Carson was second overall, but better than both of those quarterbacks, I'd like to say. 2014, Blake Bortles went third overall. Who you taking, Ant? Bortles or Carson Wentz?
You know, come on.
Johnny Manziel later drafted in the first round. 2015, the previous year, the year before Carson Wentz getting drafted, Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota went 1-2. They are both backup quarterbacks in the NFL right now and stink. Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, well, Goff and then Wentz in 2016. In 2017, Mitchell Trubisky went second overall and has since been benched behind Nick Foles. 2018, Baker Mayfield, what is he? You know, he's having a good season this year. It helps that he has, you know, three running backs that are doing majority of the work. And then you got Kyler Murray and then Joe Burrow this year. And, all right, those stories are still, you know, they have left, been, have yet to be told. But don't give me, oh, with a high draft pick, too. Look at the other guys. Those guys are blatant misses.
Exactly.
Wentz is still winning you games.
Exactly. And can I ask one question? What's wrong with Brett Favre, like? All right, like, all right, he's going to make throws, and he's going to throw picks, and, you know, they're not smart some plays. But you know where it's coming from. It's coming from the need to make a play, right?
Yes.
I'm giving up because that's just who he's going to be. He's going to always try to extend the play, make the play.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, go ahead.
Buy into it at this point.
Go ahead. Now, I wouldn't run him like Doug runs him, but go ahead. You want to? You know what frustrates me? How do you not call a rollout? Again, move to pocket. How many times do we say move to pocket? Key situations.
Mm-hmm.
Right before halftime when you're throwing ding, 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 move to pocket.
Instead, you take three shots in the end zone. You just take three shots.
Would you take Brett Favre light?
Yeah, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback, right?
Yeah, I'm not saying he's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. I'm saying he's right. Brett Favre light.
But if I have aspirations for someone... You know, I'd rather Brett Favre light than, you know, Andy Dalton.
Well, right. We all watched the Cowboys game, and you went, that's my point about
that guy stinks.
These dudes that watch games, and you go, God, are you paying attention? Did you see Andy Dalton? Andy Dalton looks overwhelmed.
You got Andy Dalton, right. Dwayne Haskins, because you had a guy that said he's the worst quarterback in the division. He's better than Daniel Jones, we saw it last night. He's better than Andy Dalton. He's better than Dwayne Haskins and Kyle Allen. And then the question is, all right, the Dak versus Wentz thing. That's about it.
I still think he's better than Dak.
I do, too.
I don't care.
But at least that's the only one where you can have a debate.
Correct.
The other guys, come on.
Let's go to Shiz. My man is Shiz. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Cuz, thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Shizzle?
I'm telling you, these guys are killing me, how they're killing Wentz. And my thing is, I don't get it because I got one problem on this team. You know who it is? It's Jake Elliott.
Really? And my man, come on, dude. What are you doing?
Detroit, it stinks!
Jake Elliott. We could have won that game in Baltimore if he made that field goal.
Yeah. 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 Right on.
And we would have been in a good position.
Yeah.
This week, we would have been in a better position if he made that field goal this week. That's twice.
Yep.
But everybody want to kill Wentz. My thing is, I look at it like this. It's the glass half full. As Eagles fans, I feel like we got a leader that feels robbed. Going into week 8, we're looking at first place in our division. I think Wentz is dangerous. But I don't know if the organization feel like that.
Yeah, listen, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%, without a doubt. I just don't understand it. I don't know what people are you. Like, if you watch that game last night and you go, "Wow, man, my man was down 21-10," and you can say it's the Giants, you can say whatever you want, right, Shiz? But you're down 21-10. And the plays he makes and the throws, and he's the whole game. He's dying out there, and he's got nobody.
But what killed me was when he was talking to Michael Irvin. Michael Irvin says so he's criticizing him, killing him. And I'm sitting there looking at him. He's just taking it. It's like nothing bothers him no more. He took the worst criticism. We don't want a Super Bowl on him. And now everybody's killing him. He's just like, I'm going to just go home, spend some time with my family, and I'll be back next week.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
I don't get what is not to like about him. But yeah. I will say this. We need Troy Aikman to cover our game, because every time he covered, the more he hate, the more we win. All right.
I love you, man. Shiz, you're the best, buddy.
Love you too, cuz.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
Troy was ripping Doug a little bit more than anyone else yesterday.
Yeah, he was crushing him.
He hated the the Hurts 2-point conversion with three offensive linemen.
I did too.
But he also made the point that a lot of us have made, not everyone, but a lot of us made is every time you put Hurts in the game, you take the ball out of your best player. So Aikman was on Doug for those two, and then he was on him for the other stupid 2-point conversion when Boston Scott's the lead blocker.
Yeah, it was horrible.
He said the same thing I said it immediately. I was like, he's 6'5". Why are you running to his right?
Yeah.
You know, around the tackle with Boston Scott leading. What are we doing?
I don't get it. And you know what's amazing to me is that people bend over backwards to defend Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
And I go,
and so quick to rip Wentz.
Yeah.
I
don't get that. Listen.
Wentz throws an incompletion and it's like,
trade him. Stakes.
How does somebody, listen, I love Ziggy.
Some of the plays, right? Some of the play calls. Again, I'll laud Doug every day for keeping his team together. You watched the mismanagement of that game last night. I mean, you saw the play. What kind of sense did any of it make? Even to the point of putting Deshaun Jackson there to field the punt. Now, before you tell me, wow, Deshaun Jackson didn't make a miracle, right? Like he did. It's the
10 years
miracle
ago.
Of the Meadowlands. Okay, no, even if we say, all right, I would have done it too if the Giants were punting from, I don't know.
Their own 10.
Right. They had the ball at midfield. Where was he going? He wasn't going anywhere.
And Deshaun fielded it at the 10, and you know he's not going to call fair catch.
Right.
Right? Like, you know he's not going to.
No, it's not Doug's fault that there was a cheap shot and the whole thing, and he wound up getting hurt again. He's got a high ankle sprain. Forget about it. He's cooked. But he really shouldn't have been out there. There's no need for Deshaun Jackson to field the punt in that situation because he's not going to be able to get a return. But that's nitpicking. That's down on the list.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot to it.
There were 10 other things that you went, what? Let's go to Ron. You're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Ron 8.
How you doing, guys?
What's up, party?
You know what? There's some kind of disconnect between Dougie's eyes and his brain. And I pointed that fourth down Giants play where we're trying to get our guys off the field, and the kicker is pointing out to the left, and the guy's wide open. I'm yelling, call timeout, call timeout.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And if the guy snaps the ball, we're going to get called for too many guys on the field, and they're going to get a first down anyway. I'm like, I can't believe this guy's not calling a timeout in this situation. And on that challenge, I just don't understand his thinking. I mean, we got 18,000 coaches in the boxes and on the sideline, and nobody can make a decision.
Right?
I just don't get it.
I don't either. I don't either, and it's really frustrating at times. And I kind of lose patience sometimes. It drives me insane where I keep going, like, what are you doing? And as everybody blames Wentz, I'm going, well, wait a second. What about the coach? What about his game plan? Listen, he would be terrific if he just gave the play calling to somebody else that can do it well.
That's exactly my point. That's what should happen. He should have somebody else call a plays and him manage the game, keep his eye on the damn field and use his brain instead of looking at that chart every 3 seconds.
That's right.
Ridiculous, man.
That's right. You're 100% right. If that was Andy Reid, we'd be burying him.
Yep. And, I mean, You get a play that works, like Carson rolling to his right, and he has a, especially in the red zone, where he has a choice to keep it or throw to one of the guys. And he keeps dropping him straight back and a short field. I'm like, what are you doing, man? Roll the guy out to the right, and you scored on it, I don't know how many times running that play, but he won't do it two in a row. And Seth Jordan stays on his case, man. He's just like, what are you doing?
Yes.
Doug.
Yes.
I mean, my neighbors are beating on my door, threatening to call the cops because I'm yelling, call timeout, call timeout. And he's like, come on, man. What are you doing?
I know, right, brother. Good stuff, man. Thanks, Ronnie. Right. What kind of sense did that make, Andrew?
It makes no sense.
I mean, really? What are you doing?
A lot of questionable things, man. A lot. But they won. You know, it's
right, right. And all I'm trying to do is hold both of my emotions in check.
Yeah.
Right? Being too down,
right,
but not also being too over the top excited. I'm thrilled that next week matters.
Yes.
But they still have to clean up the same stuff.
I opened post game, I think 2 or 3 minutes in, I was already ripping Doug. And I was like, I gotta catch myself.
Yeah.
He just came back and won, and I'm going right for the jugular to Doug.
Yeah.
By the way, here's something interesting from Jordan Renan, who covers the Giants for ESPN. That pass to Evan Engram that was dropped and incomplete.
Yeah.
That's the first time Daniel Jones threw to Engram more than 20 yards downfield this season.
Really?
Yeah. I thought he was a guy that, you know, you could go downfield every once in a while with.
Oh, how he was billed, right? He was billed to be the guy down the field.
Yeah. That's shocking. Shocking stat to see.
Yeah. Oh, that's wild, actually. Because he was the guy that was supposed to be built to go down the field. He was going to be that tight end. He's been a disappointment for them.
Yes, he has. Big time.
He's been a colossal disappointment for them. Let's go to Drew in Westchester. Westchester. Drew, what do you say, my brother?
What's going on, cuz? How you doing, buddy?
Good. What's happening?
Good, man. So basically, I'm taking this season as, you know, one game at a time. You got to win every game, pretty much. You know, you do business week to week. So they did it last night versus the Giants. It wasn't a pretty way, but they did it nonetheless. So I'll take it. This next game coming up versus Dallas is going to be the make or break game, I really think, for us. Because after that, man, we run into a really tough stretch. I mean, I know we got the Giants again, but then we hit a really tough stretch of like five teams there in a row that, you know, could potentially be five losses. So we have to take care of business in our division. And I think as long as we do that, I think Dallas, you know, stumbles, you know, with a couple games that they maybe should win, like versus a Minnesota team or something. I think we still can win this division at a pathetic, you know, maybe 6-9-1, maybe 7-9-1, but it's not going to be a pretty win, but it's going to be a division win, and I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I agree with you. And ultimately, the whole thing is to get and extend the season, make the playoffs, and give us some enjoyment. Yeah. Think about it. Let's boil it down to its basic form. We love the Eagles. We love football.
Right.
We love games that matter. No matter how it transpired, does the game against the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football matter? Yes. And for that, I'm grateful. It's been hellish 2020. Hellish 2020.
So, yeah, I'm just glad to have football.
Yeah. Yes.
And just, you know, the whole, I forget. But anyway, moving forward, I think, you know, this Dallas game, that definitely is going to be our, some of these people calling about wanting to tank the season, you know, just to get a higher draft pick. I hate that mentality. It's like the worst mentality I think you could possibly have. I mean, why wouldn't you want to just, like you said, extend the season? And yeah, are we going to the Super Bowl? Probably not. But could we win a playoff game and see some more football? Yeah, I think so.
I mean, look at, what if it's the Eagles and Bears and Nick Foles coming into the link?
Oh, man, wouldn't that be crazy?
I mean, that'd be awesome. That's a fun day. Right? That's a fun day. And they're not bad enough. See, I never take the tanking thing serious now because they're not bad enough. Go watch the Jets. And then I defy you to tell me that the Eagles have a chance at Trevor Lawrence if you watch a second of the Jets. right?
It's not gonna happen. Absolutely. No.
Thanks, buddy.
No, appreciate it.
Take it easy. And again, you know, not that I'm turning down Trevor Lawrence, but you get my point. You have a quarterback. There's a lot of other needs. They're not going to be the top. They're not going to get the top pick. Look at this. There's some bad teams in this league.
Some really bad, right? Really bad teams.
I mean, don't you think with your eyes that the Eagles are better than the Giants? Yeah. Now, I know they almost lost. I know it was, but when you actually watch the game,
yes,
the flukeness that you saw of the Daniel Jones run, and somehow they just got momentum, right?
With Gallman.
Yes. Yeah. And somehow they were able to get up 21-10. And you always know, you and I were texting back and forth, and I go, dude, I'm worried because it was only 10-7. And it felt like it should have been 24-7.
Yeah. You don't have that missed field goal, and you don't have the interception.
How many times that happened?
Way too often. And that's one of those games where you go, don't let them stay in it.
Right.
Don't let them stay
in it. Exactly. Normally you lose something like, you lose games like that.
But fortunately, came back and won. Now I got a little news on Lane Johnson. He suffered a grade 1 MCL sprain. This is from Ian Rappaport. Basically, what they expected last night, shouldn't miss much time. So 10 days you have off, he should be probably good for the Cowboys game. Just an update. Huge. Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, you need him. I mean, you got to have Lane. You got to have him.
Yeah, he's far better than Matt Pryor and the Toth. Toth, whatever his name is, much better.
No, listen, he's vital. And here's the thing that worries you, though. He's in and out of the lineup, man.
Yeah, he's Jason Peters-esque right now.
Yes.
And it's unfortunate.
Yes. All right. Sit tight, baby. We're going to come back. More of your calls. We got Doug as well. Always an entertaining listen. The DP press conference. And all your calls. The only thing that's sad for me is Sunday, no birds. Listen, we love them, right? They're not, like, it was great last night. Just watching them play is just the highlight of my week. All right. Seasons are changing, and you see how beautiful it is, right? We talked about the holidays, and we're in that autumn pumpkin season, and there's no better time to take a nice long drive in the wheel of your new tricked-out Jeep from my uncle's Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Uncle Greg and Uncle Paul at Family believe in taking care of their customers just like they have been for the last three generations. That's right. They've been down at the Airport Auto Mall. They've been in business in the Delaware Valley for three generations. You think they know what they're doing? To last three generations throughout all the climate, the tough times, the good times, right? The bear market, the bull market, and they've lasted. And that means because they're good and they're family, and that means they have tapped into something here, right? Because that's kind of who we are. We're all this big connected family in our town, and that's why the uncles just work here. Now, here's the deal. During this Jeep Adventure Days they got going on, you could save thousands and make no payments. You ready? Until 2021. So you get through the holiday season without a car payment. That's a gift. Get 0% APR financing for up to 7 years on select models, backed by the Family Advantage, the commitment to the best customer experience before and after the sale. What are you waiting for? Don't miss the chance to save big and upgrade to a new Jeep. At-home delivery, curbside pickup, it's all available. Call, click, or go visit them in the Philadelphia Airport Auto Mall. Just remember, Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, you're more than a customer. You're with the uncles, your family. See the uncles for details. The offer expires November 2nd, 2020.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello.
It's 12 o'clock. Noon on a Friday. And so we got a Sunday free. It's weird, isn't it? It's a weird weekend because there's no birds.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of looking forward to it. You know, on a personal level. I'm excited to just, you know, be able to drink and watch football.
It's weird because it's a good, it's, there's not a lot of great games. It's actually a good weekend to be free.
Yeah.
Like if you need to donate the weekend to your better half.
Oh, no, she's working. So I have a weekend of football.
Well, I'm talking to everybody
other,
else.
You know,
you know what I mean? Because here's your game Sunday. Lions, Falcons, Browns, Bengals, Steelers, Titans. Okay. Panthers, Saints, Bills, Jets, Cowboys, Washington, Packers, Texans, Tampa, Raiders, Chiefs, Broncos, Niners, Patriots, Jags, Chargers.
We get to keep a close eye on another awful game. We had Birds, Giants last night. We'll have Cowboys, Washington
exactly
on Sunday.
Another trash division game
that we have to pay attention to.
Right. Which is like, all right, but you get a Sunday that's free. Because listen, you know, people got lives. I'm like you and no,
I don't. I'll be watching football. I'll be drinking beer with my buddies.
Well, yo, you'll have that.
I can't wait. I'll be checking out the Luke Combs new album that just dropped.
Luke Holmes. Who's that?
No. Luke Combs. Like Honeycomb.
Who?
Luke Combs.
Luke Holmes.
No. Not Holmes. Not Mikey Miss, but I'm Holmes. No, Luke Combs.
You got that from Bob Means Jobs, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, Luke Holmes. Now you got me saying it. Luke Combs, one of my favorite country artists. Dropped an album today. I thought we were going to break it down during the show today, but I forgot the Eagles played yesterday.
Okay, dude. Whatever. Yeah.
I'll send you some clips tomorrow.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's the only thing you and I
don't have, see. Oh, and movies.
Yeah, it's true. I guess what do we really have in common other than sports?
Like to drink.
We love each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Brian in Dallas, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Brian.
Yo, what's up, cuz? How you doing,
baby? How you doing, man?
Hey, all right. Hey, listen, I'm going to start this off bad, but finish it up good, all right? So the quick bad thing, man, is the fact of this. You know, if we go to the playoffs and we win this division, we could win this division and wind up being the biggest losers. Because the last thing the Cowboys need is another good draft pick. That's the last thing they need. And you're like, I don't believe in tanking the season. I don't believe in that. But man, it's like, how much longer, how many more years can we go with them getting people like a C.D. Lamb, or, you know, a Dak I do not want to see them pick another player better than us. And the flip side of that is, proven that we're incompetent with drafting. You know, it's like, man, you know, so that's the bad thing. The good thing is this. Hear me out, cuz. Last night, I literally just text last night that one sucks. But I was frustrated. I was mad. I was upset. You know, and I've been doing this for a while. Like, I love Carson, but I've been questioning his mechanics and everything that every analyst has said. But the day when you started talking, man, it literally got me to thinking that whole missing the obvious, that, like, what other quarterback in the NFL is playing literally? Now, last year we talked about he had practice squad receivers. This dude doesn't have anybody on his offense that could start for another team at all. Nobody. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know how you say you can't get guys off the street? He literally is playing with guys off the street.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And how successful, like, one of the greatest athletes I've ever known is Jordan, yeah. without a doubt. You know, yeah. Yeah. The talent that he had. When Jordan, his first 3 years with the Bulls, had nobody around him.
Yeah, yeah.
What happened? Yeah. Like, and so when I'm looking at Carson's mechanics and everything like that, and you add the incompetence of Doug, which Carson has to know this. Carson is well aware that when this man calls a play, it's questionable. He is back there, and the reason why he's thrown off the wrong foot, making every play, because he pretty much knows, I may not have another chance. This guy may call a quadruple reverse the next play for me. You know what I mean? You have to think, he's like, every time a play is called, you know, he's like, okay, I have got to make this 50-yard pass. I might get sacked, but I may not get another shot at this. You know, it kind of reminds me, do you guys remember, because I know you guys are around my age, right? There used to be a commercial, like an NFL commercial, where they would show, it was a clip on a NFL Today or something, they would show a clip of Boomer Esiason, right?
Uh-huh.
He would call a play. The play was run. He would look at Sam White and say, what kind of chicken S call was that? That's what Carson is. I think Carson is going in the huddle like, oh, my God, what is he calling? So I really, and you made me realize that just talking to you. All this time I've been like, man, Carson, get better. But I'm speaking out of emotion and frustration of the entire team. And so when he messes up, it's like elevated with me.
Yes.
But now when I sit back and think, I'm like, yeah, man, this dude, he has nothing to work with. You know, his best two offensive players right now, Fulgham and Ward, would be third options on any other team not named the Jets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right on, man.
Because thank you. You bought me. So all those guys who were texting you, I'm telling them I was them yesterday. And have been the all season. But you're absolutely right. If you want to say Carson sucks, then I'll just ask them, what other quarterback in the NFL, including Brady, Rodgers, Breeze, could sit behind the Eagles line and win?
Right.
None of them.
Right. That's right.
So you won because you're right. Absolutely right.
I'm honored. I'm honored, Brian. I'm honored, man. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, you are absolutely right, guys. I mean, man, you know, of all to go, Howie's got to go. Doug's got to go. But Carson is something we can build on.
I'm not even saying that they got to go as much as they got to. First of all, Doug's got to give the play calling up. He just does. It's
exactly.
Clear to me. He can coach, right? He knows how to lead guys. But his decision making, I think it affects his game management. I hate his calls. What are you talking about?
On the flip side of that, when you say he can motivate players, I'm on the fence with that because I have to believe these guys are smart. How many offensive plays do you have where you're sitting there like, dude, I think the whole offense like, what is he calling? Like, why is he? I mean, man, the lead Boston Scott on your lead block for Jalen Hurts. I mean, Doug has about 15 plays that he calls every game that leave you like, dude, what the hell are you thinking?
I know. I know. I know. I know. It's crazy, brother. It's absolutely crazy, bro. I mean, the guys play for him. So that's what his gift is. So, like, focus on your gift. And you know, that's what you got to do. Just get somebody to call a play. Bro, I love you, buddy. Take it easy, brother. Thank you, man. Right? I get it. I get it. You're a football guy. I get it. Guys like to play for you. It's awesome. But these play calls are absurd sometimes. They're borderline what? Like, how could you call a fade to Hakeem Olajuwon on fourth down?
Yeah.
Really? What kind of play call is that?
He had zero career receptions.
Why would you do that? Well, we like the matchup. What? That just makes no sense. Why would you call plays where Wentz doesn't have an option to throw it?
Why would you call plays where you have three offensive linemen? Like, that reminded me. Remember the Colts a few years ago?
Oh my God.
They had the punter line up behind the center, and that was it. And it was like, we'll just line up in the box here and get them. It was almost as egregious as that.
Yes.
By the way, Dr. David Chow, who's the pro football doc and is also okay with hiding coronavirus stuff with the Tennessee Titans. He's a fraud. But anyways, he says that the Lane Johnson MCL sprain is normally something you could play through, but because it's coupled with the ankle injury that he's already dealing with, he thinks that Johnson could miss at least a game because then they have the bye week.
Right.
So, and a lot of people are now saying, coupling the knee injury with the ankle injury, it may be better for Lane Johnson to not play against the Cowboys. Yeah. So then you get the bye. So now you have, what, 20 days off.
Yeah, I hear you. According to Ian Rappaport, DeSean Jackson had his MRI. It confirmed the high ankle injury. Knocks him out indefinitely. Surprise, surprise. He'll get placed on injured reserve with a chance to return. Oh, man, it's amazing.
I feel bad for the injury, but it's probably one of the worst contracts,
dude,
ever.
He's in and out. It's amazing. It's uncanny how often he's out. How quick he comes back and back out.
Yep.
And where was he after the first quarter? Did he show
up? It must have been a pitch count. I'm telling you, it must have been some sort of pitch count. They wanted to save him for late in the game. I don't know.
Like, they ran nothing for him.
They ran on that first drive, and I wrote it down in my notes. They did the end around, which I like, but then there was two comeback routes for him along the sideline. And I was thinking, okay, this is going to set up the double move downfield, you know, because he's been coming back on every single route, so the corner's going to sit on that, and then boom, double move downfield, touchdown. And then we didn't see him on the field again.
I know. I don't understand it. I don't understand it.
No, they eventually scored on that first drive. You're not going to throw a shot downfield in the 20-yard line, but you get what I'm saying. Like, all right, now the cornerback's thinking, all right, this guy's been coming back each play, so I'm going to try to jump this route. And then, boom, double movies downfield.
Yeah, I honestly don't understand. I didn't understand what they were trying to do with him. I get pitch count types, but I had no idea what they were trying to do with him. I didn't make any sense.
I guess they wanted to get off to a hot start, use him early, and then they go up. They thought they were going to go up big, which they didn't, and then save him for the fourth quarter.
I mean, they kind of should have gone up big, to be honest with you, yeah. Right?
I mean, that play to Hightower down the sideline is most likely Deshaun's play, if Deshaun's right. Not hurt at that point.
Right.
Thank God Hightower made that catch.
Yes, yes.
After dropping the one last week, he had a catch last week, but dropping the one.
Let's go to Calvin. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Calvin.
What's up, Cuzzo?
What's happening, my man?
Hey, man, did we all forget that Doug was an idiot as a quarterback? Like, nobody's bringing that up. Like, the guy ain't never been smart. And his head is as big as his ego. You know, how about when they were fourth and goal and he didn't kick the field goal? Was it the five?
It was the two and a half. The one where he went for it. Yeah, it was two and a half. It was like the 2.5.
He kicked the field goal, then you don't have to work.
Yeah, I agree.
You buy a field goal to end. Yeah. I mean, hey, listen, and I'm a better. So, you know, I look at the game different. Tunis, how do I not get that extra yard for Deshaun? I had over 34 and a half yards.
That's criminal.
Hey, how's Deshaun not in the rest of the game? We were looking for him. Hey, my buddy, we said, what? Did he get hurt? Where's he at? Like, I don't understand this guy, man. And if I was Carson, I don't know what would happen, but if I was Carson and he called a dumbass play, I'd change the play. What the hell is he going to do? What's he going to do? Bench me? Change the play? What the hell? I told my boy, we not going to win nothing as long as he keeps calling the plays, man. We're not going to win.
I agree. He does not have a feel for it. It's week in, week out, and he doesn't have a feel for the play call. They're not smart plays.
Hey, cuz, and he's telling on himself. You know, he listens to the show like everybody else. He's letting us know that it was right all along. He's confirming it.
Yeah.
And it's almost like he wants to prove it wasn't right, so he just keeps doing it.
Yeah.
And I don't know why somebody doesn't say, yo, man, give up the clipboard, man. You're killing us out here.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, man, he's got poor Carson. Listen, I was ripping him, too. You made me change my mind. I was ripping him. It ain't his fault.
And here's the thing, and I go back to it. And I understand that technically there are issues, right? When you are thrown across your body like he did and holding on to the ball and some of the picks. Like, I get it. But you know what? If the trade-off is he's just got to go ball and play like he's on a playground and he's Brett Favre, well, I'll take it. Right? Because he's going to make plays.
That's right. Listen, I would audible out or whatever that mess is. If he looks at the defense and it don't look right, audible. And let me tell my last point. I'm going to get off.
Yeah.
The Giants ain't that good, but their offense look more fluid than ours. Like, they were going down the field. That's what bothers me. The bad teams in our division, outside of Dallas maybe, they move the ball. They got nobodies too. I don't know anybody on the Giants' offensive line that's spectacular. They don't have spectacular receivers. But that guy goes down the field.
Slade's pretty good, and Slade did a good job on him,
Yeah, but I'm saying Danny Dimes ran for 80 yards, and you could see he was looking around like somebody's going to kill me right now. And he couldn't believe he was that loose that long. I mean, I'm just saying, man.
How did he fall down? That was crazy.
He tripped over the 10-yard.
I know. It's crazy, man. Oh, hysterical. Oh, my God. Oh, that's funny. Great stuff, my brother, as always, man. Good talking to you, Cal. Thanks, buddy. Bro. Take it easy, brother. So we'll have Doug coming up shortly, Junis.
Yeah, still no word. Yeah. Standing by.
So we'll, he's going over his last minute stuff. I guess he's getting some injury information. Let's go to Larry. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Larry.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Larry.
What's going on, man?
How you feeling, Larry?
A couple weeks ago, first win of the season is a division crown. Second one of the season is a division crown. Is this the way we're going this year?
Maybe, baby.
I mean, like it or love it. I love it. I mean, but the play calling, I'm laying in my bed. I see him do, I think it was a run. On 4th-and-1, I said, Dougie P, what you doing, baby? What you doing? And then Deshaun, he's like Mr. Mystery Man. He come up, make a couple catches, and you see him never again for the rest of the game.
It's insane, isn't it?
It's crazy. I picked him in my DraftKings last night. I got rid of, what's his name, Greg Ward. I got rid of Greg Ward. I was like, oh, Deshaun Jackson's coming back. Let me get Deshaun Jackson. What he doing? Couple catches, and that was it. I'm like, well, damn, I should have kept Greg Ward.
Hey, well, by the way, I love Greg Ward, right? Everything around him, he worked so hard to become a dependable wide receiver. He's like, somebody brought up, Gabriel brought up that he's like the new Jason Avant. Right? Or you can count on him.
Jason Avant used to go up there on them third downs and go right down with it. I remember that like yesterday. You can definitely remind me of Jason Avant. But I feel like all we got to do is knock off some cowgirls, man. We knock off some cowgirls, we ain't got to worry about nothing else, man.
That's right. That's damn right. Knock off the cowboys. And that's it, cowgirls. Yes, yes, yes. I feel you. I'm with you, man.
Win a division with a terrible record. He'd probably be the first team in NFL history to win a division and have a home playoff game with a losing record. I've never seen that in my 20
years
of life.
Listen, I'm not too proud, right? I'll take it. I'll be happy.
Hey, I'll be happy. But like I heard y'all saying earlier, what if St. Nick do come to Philly and play against Carson?
Oh, that'd be classic, dude. How crazy would that be?
It's better than that.
I know.
It's better than that, man.
I know. That'd be fun. That'd be outrageous.
But like you ask me, I got to get back to work and deliver these Amazon packages. I give you guys a call.
Thank you, Larry. What a pleasure, buddy. Be careful out there, my man. All right. What do you want to do, Chunas? You want to take a quick TO and then come back? What are you thinking?
Only problem is if he jumps on.
Can we get out of it or no?
No.
We can't get out. Okay.
No. So probably just keep going.
Yeah.
Or we play it later, but
we always like our live newser.
Yeah.
Right? Our live presser.
Yeah. Only problem is we have to break 31.
Listen, this is something we do on the air.
Yes.
To include you guys.
You're coming behind the scenes here.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick TO because even if he starts in 5 minutes, we're still going to get the most of it. You want to do that? Or you want to take the, or you want to risk it and just go? Because if it's 12:30 and he still hasn't shown up.
Yeah.
It's your call. You're the producer, baby. You're the man who navigates whatever you want to do because you're my boy. I trust you. Do you want me to tell you about the uncles, or do you want me to go, or do you want to keep going? We got Mitch hanging. Let's see if Mitch is happy if they won.
Oh, yeah, of course. He didn't watch. Remember, he watched the debate.
Oh, that's right.
I guess tell us about the uncles.
All right. You got it. All right. Everybody sit tight, and you hear us. We will have Doug when he's ready and all your calls and reaction straight ahead. But the uncles at Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram... Well, they're ready. They're ready for fall and the beautiful autumnal fall, which is the rest of October and November and just before you get to Christmas and winter, right? So it's the perfect time to get home and bring home a new Jeep. They have Jeep Adventure Days going on right now. Uncle Paul and Uncle Greg, who have been down at the Airport Auto Mall for 3 generations, well, they're going to let you save thousands, and they're going to give you a little Christmas gift. That's right. No payments until 2021. So you can get through the holiday season with nary a car payment. That's right. Get 0% APR financing for up to 7 years on select models, backed by the Family Advantage, the commitment to the best customer experience before and after the sale. What are you waiting for? Don't miss your chance to save big. Upgrade to a new Jeep. At-home delivery, curbside pickup is available. Call, click, or go visit in the Philadelphia Airport Auto Mall. And just remember, Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, you're more than a customer. Yeah, your family. See the uncles for details. The offer expires November 2nd, 2020.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
What up?
Oh, welcome back! 12:30. Cuz ready for Tunis. And Doug still hasn't gotten there.
That paid off.
Well, I gave you my instincts, cuz. That's why I gave you. Ultimately, you made the decision. But I'm proud of you.
So basically, you gave me the play call.
You ran the play, baby. Well... If it's 12, like, this is what it is. When he's 5 minutes late, you're better off betting that he's going to be 15 minutes late than to screw around with the whole thing.
What's he doing? Is he celebrating his big 22-21 win?
Listen, a day after like this, there's a lot of injury stuff that he's going over. He's got to get prepped for it. There's a lot of stuff. So, and again, it was a strange game, right? It was a strange game. There was a lot of injuries again with this team. There's a lot of moving parts going on. So it was a weird, and it also was a strange game in that they dominated play. I mean, the first half, you saw the yardage. They dominated play.
Yeah. I mean, Carson overall threw for 359 yards.
I know.
When you see that, you go, all right, either they were down and he just kept throwing the ball, or they ran away with it. And for them to win just 22-21.
Well, they had to, not just they had to, they only won by that. Fact of the matter
had to
is,
come back,
they
yeah.
had to come, I mean, it was a desperation comeback. And here's the thing that's scary, and it's great because they we could say now they won, but remember, that whole thing is an Evan Engram drop.
Yeah.
He cost them the game. Like, if we're going to be real about it, the game's over. The Giants win the game if Evan Engram just catches the ball. That's what's pretty scary about it. Let's go to Mitch in Phoenix. You're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Mitch, did you watch the game or did you watch the debate? He's not there. All right, let's go to Ron. You're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Ron, hey. Hello, Ron. Ron's not there. That's odd. Tim in Boston.
Who is Boston Scott?
Yes!
That's it, baby!
What a throw, what a catch. You know, I just got my quick points I want to make is, well, one, I got to stay off of the message boards during the game because I find myself just constantly in anger replying to all these dumb chats about Wentz, hating on Wentz, and I'm spending the whole game doing that instead of watching it. But, you know, my big problem is my nephew, I raised him to be an Eagles fan up here in Boston as well. I text him all game. We just text. And while we're going through our slumps, here I am a nobody watching this game, and I'm texting, where's the motion from the first drive? You know, I'm texting him, where's one or two deep throws? That's why we have Hightower. Even if he misses it, open up the field. Where's the rollout?
Yes.
Literally, in the third quarter, I text him when we haven't gotten anything in the red zone. I go, why can't they find Greg Ward in the red zone? He catches everything. Just find a spot in the middle of the field for him.
Yes.
More balls. And as I'm doing it, I'm texting him, what am I, a genius? Like laughing, because that's what got us back into the game on the last two drives. But why can someone like myself, who's nothing, just watches the Eagles every game and lives for them, why are we better GMs and coaches than the people in position? It's laughable almost.
I know. I think part of it is that you really do have a good feel for your team. When you watch a team inside and out, you really do grow a great feel for the team. And then, I don't know, when it comes to their, you know, Doug and Howie, I don't know. I get frustrated like you do because I see some of the play calls and I just don't understand them. It frustrates you and it goes back to what I say to start earlier in the show, which is, you know, it's a passive endeavor and we get frustrated because we have no control, right? We have no control. We're at the behest. Doug's driving the car. All right, here he is, Timmy. So take a listen to him.
Lane Johnson and Deshaun Jackson, do you have updates on their status?
So Deshaun, you know, has the lower body. He's going to miss significant time. You know, with us, Lane, you know, again, is going to be a little more day to day. We'll see where he's at next week on him. But both of them were injured in the football game. And we just got to see where Lane's at next week. And then, of course, Deshaun's going to miss some time.
Go ahead, Jamie, and then Les.
Doug, now that you've looked at the tape from last night, what kind of confidence does it give you that you guys are where you're at? And obviously there was some stuff that I'm sure you didn't like in the game, but a win is a win in the division. So where do you sit now that you've seen your team at 2-4-1?
Well, you know, yeah, sitting on top of the NFC East obviously is a good thing. You know, the fact that we were two scores down and came back and won this football game, that's a huge positive with the amount of injuries that have piled up on offense. It just shows the resiliency of the entire football team. Really, you know, we won the turnover battle yesterday. We talk about that quite a bit, you know, with the three defensive takeaways, which was really good to see. There were some really good individual efforts yesterday. I think a Richard Rodgers stepping in for Zach and the tight ends. He had a really good football game, and even the running backs, you know, with Boston and Corey and Jason Huntley stepping in and really doing a nice job. You know, in the run game protections, Carson played tough again, played physical. We asked him to run the ball a couple of times. He did that. You know, so there's a lot of really good takeaways from this football game, and the fact that we came back and won the game is probably the biggest.
Les and then Tim.
Hi, Doug. Certainly a wonderful comeback in the fourth quarter, but you alluded last night to some decisions and throws that Carson would like to have back. And I guess I'm asking, what would you say to people that look at that second quarter interception and think, how in the world can a franchise quarterback in his fifth season make that decision, make that throw in that situation, which sort of turned the game around, it looked like?
Well, he knows, we know, I think everybody knows that we can't do that. That's unacceptable for us. And, you know, and Carson feels the same way. And in situations like that, you throw it away. You know, you throw it in the first row of the stands. And, you know, it's just a mistake that we'd like to have back. And, you know, we just can't do that. We're, you know, take away the kneel down at the end of the game, 3 of 7 in the red zone. The fact that we were in the red zone 7 times is awesome, right? I mean, it goes back to, you know, Jamie's questions about the positives. You're in the red zone 7 times. You need to come away with points, you know, and that's a correlation to not only scoring, but to helping you win football games. So that's a positive. We have to be better down there. And we know that turnovers, penalties, sacks, things of that nature, take us away from points and things that we gotta get better at.
Tim and then Mike Sielski.
Doug, do you have any good news on the injury front for you? Do you have any of these reinforcements coming soon? Dallas Goedert, Alshon Jeffery, Miles Sanders, anybody pop up that could be available for you soon?
You know, obviously these guys are all rehabbing and working today, working through the weekend, and we'll see where guys like Dallas and, you know, Miles, Alshon, we'll see where they're at, you know, beginning and really the middle of next week. I can probably say that guys like TJ Edwards, you know, is close to returning. Rudy Ford is close to returning. You know, Jason Peters is kind of in that boat. But, you know, we've got a few days here to really get these guys healthy even more. But I'm hoping that, you know, we get a few of these guys back next week going into the Cowboy game.
Mike and then Dave.
Hey, Doug, I know you addressed Jake's miss last night after the game, but I'm curious if a kicker's performance ever starts to get to the point where you factor it into your play calling, you know, in the red zone or even beyond that within the 30-yard line. You know, is how he's performing at a given point in the season, does that factor into whether you might go for it on fourth down or something like that?
Yeah, no. You know, I've got so much confidence in Jake. He's made so many big kicks for us. And, you know, I've got a lot of confidence in him and really the operation, you know, from snap hold to kick. It doesn't affect, you know, my decision one way or the other to put him out there or not put him out there. We just got to keep working through it. And he's a professional. He knows that he needs to make those. We need to be better there, and he needs to make those kicks. But it doesn't challenge my confidence one way or the other. I'm going to continue to put him out there, and he's going to continue to make those kicks for us.
Dave and then Jeff.
Hey, Doug, as a play caller, when you have so many new guys in and out of the offensive lineup, is it challenging to figure out what your strengths are and which plays you should be running with the current group you have on the field?
It can be a challenge at times, you know, because the thing is with this many, new players, you know, new starters or guys in the lineup, you don't get much time on task. You don't get many reps during the week with these guys. And so some continuity and some timing in the passing game particularly can lack just a little bit. But, you know, that's why we practice, right? That's why we do the things we do during the week to prepare and sometimes keep game plans a little bit simpler or smaller so these guys don't have to think quite as much and they can just focus on a handful of plays. And, But you know, we do our best to put guys in position and utilize their strengths so that they don't have to learn, you know, two different positions, for instance. They can just learn one spot, you know, for that week. But guys are doing a great job, you know, they're making plays. We saw it again yesterday late in the game, you know, with some of these guys that are making plays for us and helping us win that game yesterday.
Jeff and then Kristen.
Doug, Carson's numbers in the fourth quarter versus the first three quarters are pretty significant, especially the last 2 weeks. And it's not just the numbers. If you watch him play, it just seems like he's playing more freely in the fourth quarter when you guys have been trailing. Have you guys dug deeper into that as to why you feel like he's been more productive playing almost from behind versus ahead or earlier in the game?
It's something that we'll take a look at that here in the next couple of days. We got a little time over the weekend to look into everything. And quite honestly, it's good to see your quarterback being able to, you know, put the team on his back and lead a comeback like he did in this game. And obviously the Baltimore game is another one where, you know, we made the comeback and put ourselves in a position to tie that football game. And that part's good to see, you know, but we don't ever want to, you know, try to, you know, at least minimize being down two scores late in the fourth quarter and have to come back every week. Those are hard to overcome. But, you know, that's one of the things you love about Carson. He's constantly fighting with his guys and battling with his guys out there. And he wants the ball in his hands, you know, at the end of the game. And, you know, the other thing is when we're down two scores like that, you go right into your 2-minute offense and, you know, you saw the play to Hightower, you saw the play to, you know, Richard Rodgers, which were the Richard Rodgers play was a scramble, big play in the game, but that's who Carson is. And he's a constant competitor and wants to win.
Kristen and then Ruben.
Hey, Doug, you touched on this already, but on those four drives, you guys weren't able to convert in the red zone. I mean, after watching that tape, where do you feel like those breakdowns were coming from? And kind of to Dave's question, does that come from the young personnel that you guys were working with in those situations that maybe they hadn't been in before?
The breakdowns were really execution, you know, offensively. Whether it was offensive line mistakes, receiver mistakes, quarterback mistakes, everybody had a hand in the breakdowns, and it's really something that I think as coaches, you know, with the amount of new faces, it's really a teachable moment for us to be able to show guys. I mean, there's a sense of urgency, obviously, you know, from the standpoint of playing faster in the red zone. We know the ball comes out of the quarterback's hand a little bit faster, you know, the field gets condensed a little bit more, all of that. Can't have penalties down there, can't take sacks down there, and then, you know, obviously can't miss kicks down there. So those are all things that we can control and we can fix, and it's all teachable and correctable.
Ruben and then Bo.
Hey, Doug, how you doing? A couple semi-related offensive line questions. You mentioned JP might be close to getting back. Would he automatically go to left tackle, or would you consider maybe moving him back to guard since you're a little more unsettled at guard and Jordan's done a nice job at left tackle for the most part? And also along those lines, you have Prince Tega on the practice squad. Just wondering how he's coming along. Obviously, you have Brett Toth up, and he hasn't done a lot of pass blocking in his career. So what are your options there?
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. We have options, right? And Prince is still growing with the offense and doing a nice job and getting better every week. And Brett is, obviously been with us now a week or two. And, you know, he's getting better. You know, he'll get better this next week, with a full week of practice. I think when JP comes back, I think that's a conversation that we'll have internally to see what's best for the football team. Whether it's he and Herbig and Sua Opeta now, you know, guard rotation, or is it JP back at left tackle? Those are just options that we have, which we really haven't had many options here lately, and it gives us I think the best availability for these players, you know, for our offensive line moving forward.
Oh, and then Chris.
Hey, Doug, how did Opeta play since you mentioned him? And then also, as you approach the trade deadline, is there any, you know, is there anywhere where you would maybe like to get some help for this roster?
Sua played okay. There were a couple times he got bull rushed, and I think just, you know, the first time starters, especially at the offensive line, you know, it takes a little bit to settle in and understand. I think, you know, pass rush lanes, pass run rush games, stunts, things of that nature by the defense. And he did some nice things. Again, wasn't perfect, but something to build on and continue his growth there. And then as far as the trade deadline, obviously we know that's coming up, but that's something that, you know, Howie and I will discuss and look at the roster, but haven't made any decisions there yet.
Go ahead, Chris, and then John McMullen.
Hey, Doug. Having seen the tape now on the DeSean Jackson injury, do you feel as if either of the hits that the Giants players made were dirty in your estimation?
Well, it's not my place publicly to comment on that, and it's a play that we'll turn into the league to see if, you know, there'll be any, you know, obviously they flagged it and they got it, the officials got it right, obviously, in the game. It's unfortunate because of the injury, but that's something that's in the league's hands, and if there's any ramifications, it'll come down from them, but, you know, not my place to comment on that.
We have time for two more, so John and then Rob.
Hey, Doug, just curious what you saw from Richard Rodgers after watching the tape and the game he played, and also any update on Hassan Ridgeway. He also had to lead the game.
Hassan Ridgeway has a bicep injury that he's going to miss the rest of the season for us. It's unfortunate, you know, with him. It's a significant injury. Something that, you know, I'm obviously, you know, disappointed in that because he was a big part of the tackle rotation. So he's going to miss, obviously, and we're going to miss him. Richard Rodgers, gosh, this guy, I tell you what, you know, he played tough, physical. He played fast, made some really good catches, not only some short intermediate catches, but the one, you know, deep throw there in the fourth quarter to help us win that football game. I'm really glad Richard's on the team. He, you know, he's a good complimentary piece when both Zach and obviously Dallas are out there, but he filled in really well, and expect, you know, more of that, hopefully moving forward with him in that position.
Go ahead, Rob.
Doug, Carson was compared to Brett Favre coming out of school, that gunslinger mentality. Obviously you're familiar with Brett. He seems to be playing more like Brett now than he did his first four seasons. Would you agree with that? He's trusting himself to make throws that maybe sometimes he shouldn't make, but at the same time, he's making big plays, extending plays, creating plays. Are you seeing more of Brett and Carson, and how do you feel about it? Because it may increase the risk at times, but the reward could be greater.
Well, that was always the thing with Brett. You know, he always the reward was definitely greater, but you knew there was going to be some risk involved. And you know, Carson obviously has the ability to do that. He's got the arm strength. He's got the mobility to extend plays, you know, with his legs. And I would think that, you know, the one thing that we're seeing with Carson now is in the same thing I saw with Brett, is that physical toughness, you know, being able to stand in the pocket and take some hits and, you know, bounce up and do it again. And so to me, that's kind of some of the similarities there. But, you know, Carson is solid. He's getting better every week. He, you know, again, had a great comeback yesterday for us. And that's some of the same things that obviously I saw in Brett when I played with him.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, there it was. The Dougie P. Good question by Rob Motti. I like that question because that's my whole theme today, is Carson as Favre. We'll come back. We'll get all your calls, all your reactions to last night, and everything straight ahead. It's Cuz Radio with Chunis right here, 97.5 The Fanatic. All right, let's talk about a little face showing action because I got my favorite, the Philly Special. I wear it all the time. Wash it. It's great because these masks are ridiculous. They're awesome. Face Sean, the coolest original Philly sports themed Johns with styles for the whole family, including kid sizes. You got the Philly Special, like I wear, like I love. You got Billy Penn, Liberty Bell. You got emojis. It's awesome. They're three-ply masks. They're washable. They have adjustable loops that are comfortable. They have the filter pocket. And as we know, right, we know we're proud of who we are. We're Philly strong. And that makes us more than ever. This time, we need to unite, show that pride together, right, and face show them the guys believe in high-quality, affordable masks. And they should be available to everyone, especially kids. So it's cool. The guys know what's up. They know what time it is. They're donating a mask to a local school of your choice for every jaunt purchase with their buy one, give one program. For a limited time, they're running a special offer for our listeners. Get free shipping using the promo code CUZ, whether you're a fan of the local sports teams or general local flavor. Check them out, facejohn.com. Follow them on Instagram, at facejohn, for pop-up news and updates. Mask up this fall at facejohn.com. Johns for your face.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Next week, it's good we have some time with next week and Monday. Because Monday, before we get into the Cowboy talk, because there'll be a lot of great Cowboy talk, I want to get into this Doug and Carson and Favre. Because Rob Motti asked the question, I've been talking about it all day long. He loves to play like Brett Favre. It's no secret that was his favorite quarterback. And he mimics, Carson does, Brett Favre. Why does Doug feel uncomfortable with Wentz playing the role of Favre, Andrew?
It's a good question, and it's funny that you asked that because I live tweet the press conferences and the interviews that you have during the show, and I actually tweeted out the quote that Doug had regarding Carson Wentz and Brett Favre and their comparison. And Les Bowen actually quote tweeted it. He did not say hi guys before he tweeted.
I like when Les goes hi guys.
Hi Doug. Right. Hi Carson.
Hi Doug.
But he quote tweeted it and he goes, Brett also threw a lot of really terrible interceptions. Right. As Doug knows. So maybe that's it.
But here's the thing, and this is what, and maybe we'll get Les on to talk about this as well, because and have this conversation. Yeah, he did throw terrible interceptions. Mm-hmm. But again, that's part of the deal. Would you sign up for Favre or Favre-ish knowing that you're going to be throwing interceptions? No, that's just who he is. So you're not going to get the Favre-ish great plays without some of the picks.
Right, exactly.
And some of the fumbles.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And the bottom line is, I'd rather have that than maybe Pamby Carson, who's 12 personnel, gotta go short, gotta go. Let him go ball, man. What's wrong with that?
For maybe lack of a better analogy, it's like when they run the 12 personnel, Carson gets snipped, if you get what I'm saying.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And then when he gets to do whatever he wants,
Right.
He's not snipped.
Like, I don't know. Like, we have a guy, Derek. You know Derek from West Philly?
Yes.
And he's a hater of Wentz. A hater. Now, mm-hmm. He's on the line today, and he wants to say that Carson Wentz is terrible.
Oh, come on.
Now, I don't know how to deal with that, because I know, I've talked to Derek before, he knows football. He watches football. So he knows football. But what is it? Is it agenda? So it's not like Derek is just doesn't know the sport or he's from Mars. He does. But it has to be agenda. And I don't understand it. Because you can't, if you want to use the word terrible, go look at Daniel Jones.
Right.
Go look at Mullins. Who else he said? Nick Mullins. Give me a break. Like, that's what I don't get, Derek.
And what's going on with you?
I love you. I can't even talk to you, though. I love you to death. I want to talk sixes with you.
No. Listen. Now, you know, like, I'm going to say this. Carl, you know, I don't know what's going on with you. I want to be safe in the streets, so I ain't going to be too bad on you. But Jim Carson is not playing good. He hasn't been good since the Super Bowl run. He's been declining every year. Now, I know you want to say he got rookie receivers. He had all the same tight ends, Zach Ertz, for all these years. He has other nice...
Zach Ertz is not a Hall of Fame tight end. Second of all, he had Rich Rodgers looking like Zach Ertz last night.
But look who we're playing. They even got one win. We're talking about a garbage team.
But you can't have it both ways. You can't call a kid terrible in one breath, and then on the next breath, watch the kid go up and down the field and win you the game.
This is all honesty.
You don't like the dude for some reason.
No. I'm going to say this. This is the whole thing, and I'm going to be honest with you. I love Carson Wentz 2017. He's been declining, and I think it's because the other players don't really want to play around him because they don't like him. It's his character. And the young guys come in, and they break their tail for him. And I think that's what this really is the thing. It's a Super Bowl.
I don't know. Like, you tell me his character. Like, that's a damning thing, G. Like, you're throwing out something serious. Like, what makes you think that he's got a bad character? Because Alshon Jeffrey, who's a stinking rat?
Right. No, I think, because remember when they made the shrine of the Super Bowl winning quarterback?
Alshon Jeffrey?
You got me. I'm a Foles fan. Okay, there you go.
All right, listen.
Okay, hey, you got me.
That's cool. Listen, that's all you got to say. It's cool, baby.
You know what I mean? It's like I'm talking to my grandfather and I can't lie to him. That's what it is.
Hey, that's cool, man.
That's all it is. I'm sorry.
I got no beef, man. That's cool, baby. D, have a great week. I love you, man.
I love you too, man. All right, thank baby. You. I appreciate it.
See you, buddy. Now, how about that?
All right, so you guys come together, breaking bread.
But that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's a good thing by Derek. He just shot, you know what? He
couldn't. I'd give it to him.
Like, he couldn't even go with the charade.
No.
Right? Like, making the argument. So he just go, I'm a Foles fan. Hey, and I go, salute. That's cool you're a Foles fan. Just don't hate on my man.
Can't wait for Wentz v. Foles in Philadelphia in January.
Oh my God.
First round of the playoffs.
It's a Football Friday with a Fanatic, and they are driven by AAA. Wherever the open road takes you, take AAA. Let's talk to Jason. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jace.
Yo, cuz. It has been way too long since I've called you. How you doing, man?
Good, buddy. What's happening?
Everything is good, man. You know, I am really happy that a guy that is my height made the game-winning touchdown, man. That is such a beautiful feeling, man. You know how good that feels to get somebody 5'6" out there doing it, man? That is beautiful.
It was a great catch, and the throw was spectacular, you know?
Unbelievable. Some of these throws are just amazing, and I don't understand what people are looking at when they see these throws and they can still say, yeah, well, he can't do it again. Or, like, what are you looking at? I don't understand. It's like some people, like my best friend in the world, pretty much, he's basically my brother. I know him and so many other people that just make it hard to defend the Eagles fans. And it's like,
a lot of people tell me they're not Eagles fans because of the fans and stuff like that. And it's just like sometimes it's hard to defend the fans when people say stuff like Carson stinks, man. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Right. But now you kind of get an insight, right? You get a little insight into the agenda. There's a false thing that lingers. Right, with the whole thing.
Right.
You and I both, now we're fans of Carson, right? We look at him, I go, dude, that kid could be Favre-like. He's Favre-ish. It started from way back when he got drafted. I go, this kid's Favre-ish. And we saw it last night.
I mean, tell me if I'm completely wrong, but I have always believed, and I still do, that By the time Breeze and Rodgers retires and all that, I think Carson is going to elevate to be the best in the league. Now, Mahomes may still have them by that point, but I think by the time they retire in a couple of years, I think Carson is going to be right at the top with everybody else. That's what I personally believe. I don't think he's going to decline. I think Carson is going to show everybody that he is the Hall of Fame. That's what I think of it. That's what I think.
Well, it's undeniable. You got, the young quarterbacks that are here led by Mahomes and all that stuff. But I do. I think Carson becomes a very good quarterback, an upper echelon quarterback. Here's my only fear, Jace. Like, you tell me if this is true or not. My only fear is Doug.
Yes.
No, and I don't mean it in a bad way, but the coaching staff as a whole, I don't think is a good coaching staff. I think it's an okay coaching staff. I think they miss pieces, and that includes a really good quarterback coach. Now, we'll see. They, press Taylor, whatever. We'll see what he can do. But I worry about that, and I worry about the game plan and the offense. He is a really good coach and motivator, but I don't know about him. I've doubted him for a while when it comes to his game plan.
You know, I look at that the same way I look at Michael Vick's status. Was when I never liked Vick as a quarterback. I didn't think he was very good with the Falcons. That's just me. I thought he was faster than everybody, but I didn't think he was that good. So when we played the Falcons in the conference title game, I said, oh, we're definitely winning this game. But then when he came here under Andy, he finally got a real coach, and I believe he should have been MVP that year. So it definitely is the coaching. But can I say one last thing to you?
Yeah.
All right, the game last night went completely opposite of what I was expecting. I really thought it was going to be like the Vikings game pretty much from the Super Bowl year. It was going to be a slow start, and then we were just going to run all over them. Like, the very first game I remember was the Eagles-Cowboys. It was like before Aikman got really good and the Eagles sacked him like 11 times in one game.
Do you
remember that?
Yeah.
That's what I thought this game was going to be last night, and it turned out total opposite of that. But hey, I'm happy that they won, and I definitely appreciate you guys.
Ah, thanks, my brother. Always a pleasure, right. Jace. Always a pleasure. Without a doubt. Let's go to Ian. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ian.
Cuz, Andrew, how are you?
What's happening, Ian?
Oh, not too much. Real quick before we get into my point, I think that maybe the common characteristic between all these Foles versus Wentz guys, I'm a Wentz guy, but I think that a lot of these Foles guys like to play it safe, and they like the safe play, and they like to see traditional drop back, quarterbacks. They don't want to see guys scrambling. They don't want to see guys taking chances. And I think, for me, I'm a gambler. If we can press it, let's press it. So anyone that I've met that I've had this conversation with, they generally seem to be, you got to be careful. We got to be safe.
Right. So, that's an interesting point. About what we like from a style standpoint. Yeah.
Correct. Probably just in general, guys that play safe versus guys, that will take that little risk. And that kind of leads me into my second point. I wanted to thank Andrew because I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before, but he mentioned a bet that was Jalen Hurts or scoring was like plus 900. So I last night, just about half hour before the game, I had a few pops in me. And I decided to place a bet, so I start building a parlay, and I built a 5-leg parlay bet that wound up hitting.
Really?
Yes.
What was it?
So I bet I like the Eagles outright.
Okay.
I like the under. I thought it was going to be close, so I did. It was a 13-point spread for the Birds. What was the other one? Oh, halftime and at the end of the game, the Eagles were going to lead. And then I also needed a Greg Ward touchdown. Now,
the interesting thing is that it all came down to the last 6 minutes of the game, because the first half was going exactly the way I hoped it would. You know,
right.
It was close, and then the Giants started running away with it. So now, 6 minutes left. That's after the Giants score. You know, they run the. Let me bring up the plays here, but they wound up scoring. They missed the 2-point conversions. It's 21-16. They start marching back down the field, and I'm thinking, okay, great. Well, if they score a touchdown, you know, that's 44 points. It's under the 44 and a half. I'm good to go. So they start, and, you know, they get all the calls going their way on their last drive. And then I'm sweating because all of a sudden I realize that they're going to go for two.
Right.
And if they go for two, it hits 45 and it busts the under.
Yeah, there you go. It's right. Oh my God, it worked out perfect. What was your payout?
$26.52 on a $100 bet.
Very good. Good job. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Sit in, hang up and listen, because the big brain on Brad is going to give you 7 picks in 5 minutes coming up right now, and he's usually money.
Check out the big brain on Brad.
That's it. Fridays, 1:15, we tap into the big brain on Brad, our betting analyst, NBC Sports, and right here on the Fanatic. Brad, how you doing, buddy?
Outstanding, my friend. How are you?
There he is. Yeah, you know, they won. What's your takeaway?
My takeaway, I think, was different than most people's. I thought the Eagles really outplayed the Giants. And I know they're getting a lot of, like, oh, you know, they had a comeback to win. But, you know, look, Daniel Jones made that good, you know, he obviously fell down, but that good play where the athletic run where he did the read option. But I thought the Eagles just destroyed them in the first half. Carson obviously made a bad turnover, and Elliott missed a chip shot field goal. But I don't know anyone who watched that game didn't think Philadelphia was the far better team. And I was on the Giants' side in the game, I really thought Philadelphia was the better team. That's just my opinion. Now, again, look, they're not a great team. I mean, they're missing half their team due to injury. This is not the Eagles Super Bowl team, so it is what it is. But a win is a win. And I thought they deserved to win the game, despite, I know I'm in the minority on that. I know they were down 11 late, but I really thought they were the better team.
Yeah, well, I think we agree with that. All right, buddy, I don't want to interrupt you anymore. Give us the 7 picks that you do each and every Friday.
You got it, buddy. We're starting off tonight. Walker Buehler. You can get him to get 6 or more strikeouts. Now, yet there's some juice here. You have to lay minus 235, but that doesn't mean there's not value. He's gone over, Anthony, 8 of his last 9 games. And the best part about this is Tampa Bay, out of every team in Major League Baseball, they're last, dead last, 30th in the Major Leagues in strikeouts. Their hitters strike out more than any team in the Major Leagues. Walker Buehler, to me, looks sensational in these playoffs. I think he is at least 80% to get 6 strikeouts some more, and we only have to lay 235. Love that bet.
All right.
Tomorrow. Yeah, love that bet. Even though it's juicy at 235, it doesn't mean there's not value. There's plenty of value there. Next, I went to Michigan, as you know, Anthony, University, I believe, blue. Michigan's at Minnesota. The line is Michigan by 3. Now, a couple things here. First of all, Michigan is 1-20 in their last 21 games on the road versus ranked teams. Michigan has lost a ton of players on opt-out. They are young. I don't know how good Joe Milton's going to be. I think Minnesota, I made this line Minnesota -3.5. I was stunned that Michigan was laying 3 points on the road here. I think Tanner Morgan's a good quarterback. The receiver for Minnesota, Rashad Bateman, I think is as good as anyone in the Big Ten. I like the money line here with Minnesota getting $1.40 also.
There you
go. I think Minnesota getting 3 is a really good bet.
All right. Quickly, because we got about 90 seconds.
Okay, fine. I like Pitt +10 against Notre Dame. Basically, 10 of the last 12 games between these teams have been decided by one score or less. And when there is an over-under of less than 45, which this is, and the line is 10 or higher, those games covered around a 56% clip. I think it keeps us one close. And we're going to give you some props. Deontay Johnson, Steelers, under 67.5. He's gone under that 3 of his last 4 games. He's only averaging 37 for the season, Anthony. I think that total is way too high, 67.5. DK Metcalf in Seattle, over 66.5. Don't get this at all. He's gone over 92 in all five of his games. 66.5, no way. That's an easy over. Derrick Henry, we're going to go under 86.5 like we did last week with Aaron Jones against a great rush defense. Steelers only averaging 3.3 yards per carry. They've allowed 6 to Barkley, 23 to David Johnson, only 40 to Kareem Hunt. Sanders had 80, but 74 was on 1 yard, on one run. The other 10 only got 6 yards. I like under 86.5 there. And last, James Conner, over 62.5 yards.
Yes.
Titans last in the NFL in yards per attempt at 5.1. Conner's gotten 300-yard games over the last 4. Like the over.
Oh, that's it. Check out the big brain on Brad, baby.
Check out the big brain on Brad.
We'll talk to you Thursday from Parks, my brother. Good stuff, baby.
Look forward to it. Good luck to everyone this weekend.
Here he is, Brad Feinberg, the NBC Sports betting analyst. Always giving us their winners, hanging out. So he's a really good, especially on those props. He's very good on the props. All right. We'll come back. Get your calls up straight ahead. Also, my man Steve Martorano wants to check in. Tap into Stevie. He's got his thoughts. Love talking to Stevie. Let me tell you about Xceva first. All right? This is one of the great discoveries that I've had this year. In a bad year, I love to come up with like different discoveries. And Xceva vitamin infusion therapy, well, that's my favorite. My man Brian, who owns it, part of the ownership group, he said, listen, I got this thing. Come check it out. And it's unbelievable, right? Like, because here's the thing. We talk about infusion therapy, and you go, well, what is it? Well, it's an IV of goodness that your body craves, like vitamins and nutrients and amino acids and hydration, stuff that's going to boost your immune system, elevate your mood, elevate your energy level, replenish your reserves. It's amazing. Now, is it safe? Yes, we're talking about vitamins and nutrients and hydration, and it's administered by a board-certified nurse at one of Xceva's modern infusion suites. You relax, massage chair, flat screen, you recharge. It takes about 45 minutes, ideal to disappear from the earth and get recharged. To learn more about Xceva's vitamin therapies, visit Xceva.com. That's AXIVA.com. Xceva, replenish, recharge, relief.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Day after. It's a win! And ultimately, as bad as it was, they were an Evan Engram drop away from a loss. They won. Yes. And that is, my friends, so very crucial to our happiness that we get next Wednesday, next Sunday, and the Eagles Dallas. We get that. We still have a hope of a playoff. And as bad as and ugly as it was, they won. And listen, Carson balled out. Now joining us, one of the greats, the legends of Philadelphia. One of my favorites, my former partner, who was incredible. It's funny, everybody knows how much he hates the Giants. I was talking about him yesterday, in fact. Let's welcome Steve Martorano to the program. Stevie!
Hello, cuz.
Cuz. I don't think you've ever called me cuz. Well, it's either, Anthony or my boy.
My boy. Well, you know, when in Rome.
Yes.
You're right, I hate the Giants.
I'm just calling. First of all, I'm all in on Wentz. Okay, let's get that out of the way. I'm all in with the kid. And I hope you told everybody that 15 minutes into the game last night, what did I text you?
Yeah.
What did I text you?
Hold on.
He thinks he's Favre.
Yes, yes, yes.
He thinks he's Favre.
Yes.
Okay. Listen,
yes.
I'm warning any of the youngins that are listening. You're about to hear the resurrection of the greatest man crush in the history of sports. Let the slurping begin. You are insufferable about Brett Favre, okay? Insufferable. Oh. Yes. You know what? Only Cameron Diaz loves Brett Favre.
You know why I like him? Because he's not passive. All right? All right, he's a true pirate.
Yeah.
He's not afraid. He's not, oh my God. I'm going to, he believes in his arm and he wants to win and he'll go out on a shield.
Let me slurp behind this. All right, I guess.
He'll go out on a shield. Who cares that he throws the ball across his body on the side of the field? I don't care.
Oh, God. Here he comes. Oh, God.
He's got balls, Steve. All right? He's got an arm, and he's got stones.
Oh, it's back. It's back. Oh, Brett. Did you see that interception? Oh, my God.
Who'd you rather have? You want Ty Detmer? Is that what you want?
Here's the deal.
You want the Ty Detmer back?
Calm down. Here's the deal. Given the deficiencies on this football team, you know, injuries and all that stuff, you want somebody to play like the house is on fire because the house is on fire.
Yes! Thank you!
Yeah, but I mean, there's playing like Favre and throwing stupid interceptions just like he did. Then there's playing like Favre and you're Aaron Rodgers.
Look, you're right. He's not Aaron Rodgers. You're right. I mean, I'm okay to say he's not Aaron Rodgers. I don't disagree.
The difference between Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre, and now Wentz to a certain degree, is that overwhelmingly, Aaron Rodgers, you know, go for broke paid off. I mean, he managed to complete those crazy passes more often than get picked up.
How much is the fact that he was a seasoned guy who sat and watched and was the last quarterback to actually be mature?
What's about that? Who did he sit and watch?
Yeah, he realized, all right, well, there's the good and the bad of Favre, and he took the good from him. I agree. But let's see the other thing, too. You know, Favre had Mike Holmgren as his coach. Well, he had a legendary coach.
Yeah, but nobody coaches that stuff. Brett Favre was like that when he was 5 years old.
No, I agree. My only point is that Holmgren was able to understand it, right? Like, he was able to win with it.
Yeah, that.
And that's my question about Doug. I think it scares Doug. I don't think he understands how to deal with it.
Here's why it scares him, it seems to me, because it scares me the same way. When Favre would put it up, right? And he just put it up, right? Chances are, because he had some athletes at the receiver position, they'd go up and get it for him. I mean, everybody forgets. He put it up. Some guys went up and got it. They went up and got it. Wentz doesn't have that. Once or twice a game to save a game.
Yeah,
like
could you imagine?
Night, of course.
Could you imagine if he did?
Well, then
maybe he would be more of the good of Favre without some of the ills of Favre. If he had a legitimate offensive line and legitimate weapons and a legitimate coaching staff.
Then you wouldn't have to play like Brett Favre.
No, but he could still take look at Aaron Rodgers. He could still take the good of Favre and make plays without being as reckless.
Hey, listen, I'm with you on Wentz. I mean, the idea that people are anti-Wentz is nuts. It's just crazy. But this is the style of football we're about to see here on this ill-gotten season. is not going to be for the faint of heart. So get used to it. You know, if your blood pressure is a problem, don't watch the game because your blood pressure is going to be off the hook. He's going to throw the ball 35 yards across his body, running the other way. You're going to go, what in God's name is he thinking about? And then he's going to throw a dime to that short, that little guy, and it's like, what the hell is that? But it's just, again, if you've got the whole thing or even part of the whole thing in front of you, you don't have to play like your favorite man crush guy of all time so far. I'm too old for this message.
I love
it. Steve Martorano, and I approve this message.
I miss you, man. You're the greatest. I love you. My man. See you, buddy. Steve Martorano. Radio legend in this town. There he is from these streets, deep in these streets. Black Gritty, blackgritty.com.
Because I'm in South Philly currently, and I am in these streets. We were all saved last night, okay? Let me tell you about my history. For the last 10 years, I got a friend I only talk to two times a year, on my birthday and the first game of the Giants. He's a Giants fan living in California. We have a standing $100 bet of whoever wins, we get a steak dinner, we send each other $100. Now, I've been feasting for the last years, as you can tell.
Yeah. So,
but last night, man, with 6 minutes and 40-something seconds ago, I can't even tell a grown man the stuff that my text message was blowing up, the things that he was texting to me, talking about, oh, get it all in. Oh, my God, I almost turned my phone off. And then the phone went silent, dog. The phone went silent. Graham dropped that ball, and everybody was saved. Elliott was saved from missing that kick. Peters was saved with those play calls. Wentz redeemed himself. It was so great. It was so exciting. And I got my PayPal $100 in the text message right after the game. And life is good. Let me also say, we are a tight end factory. We are not a quarterback factory.
Rich Rod,
tight ends, I agree. Chad Lewis, like all Smith. I can go all through the tight ends we didn't have. We plug and play them. Why Rodgers wasn't in on a goal line? A pass play? I mean, the dude's 19 feet tall. I don't know what we're doing. So
yeah, well, he was going to Akeem Olajuwon.
Exactly. Because, you know, we're a tight end factory. Lastly, I just want to know, is there anything – did you listen to the thing with him in the after show with NFL Network? He literally said – Michael Irvin said, can you cut out some of that? So he's like, I can't separate myself from being myself, basically saying – I'm going to throw these balls any which way I want. Like, I cry so much when I just throw the ball away. It's 3rd and 9. You're on your own goal line. You're spinning around and dancing. And I screamed, like, just throw the ball away. Like, please, just every once in a while. But apparently, you know, Broncos on bucket. He's going to be Brett Favre. We just got to give him some weapons. Some 9 foot tall.
Yeah, man, that's your basic. Come on.
Hey, look. I just want 90-foot tight ends. That's all I want. I want all tight ends. And I want to throw the ball.
I feel you, BG.
Touchdown. Play you, brother.
Play you, brother. Black Gritty, blackgritty.com. JC in D.C. You're on 97.5 for that. JC.
What's up, man?
What's up, buddy?
Nothing, man. I have a series of questions for you. Number one, what would you say is the most complete game the Eagles played last year?
Last year? Was the Cowboy game?
I always felt like it was the Packers game.
Oh, yeah, the Thursday night short week game, yeah.
And then this year, I feel like the most complete one so far has probably been the San Fran game. Both games went, he didn't even attempt 30 passes. And I'm just like, people need to realize that when your quarterback is attempting 38 to 48 attempts a game, there's going to be one or two picks in there. Because with Wentz's pass, the thing that I didn't like about him was holding on to the ball and taking a sack and fumbling. I'd rather him throw two picks in a game than you know, take a sack and fumble. And another thing is that the one piece that they haven't been able to replace since that Super Bowl season, which is really affecting them on short downs, like especially 3rd and 1s and in the red zone, is LeGarrette Blount. They haven't had anybody.
Yeah, no power back.
Yes, man. And that's what I thought. What is his name? The former boxer, his son, he was on the team.
Holyfield.
Yeah, Holyfield. That's what I thought his son was going to be, but, you know, oh, well.
So did I. Elijah Holyfield. I thought the same thing. I thought he would be more of that rugged. I actually would have taken a look at him, too.
Yeah, I mean, because he's about 5'8". I think he and Boston are a little bit like the same height, but he definitely has like 20 or 30 pounds on Boston.
Yeah, he's a big guy. Yeah.
Also, before I go, and I have one question for you. Before you guys look up these stats,
okay,
do you think LeSean McCoy is a Hall of Famer?
Wow, that's a great question, because I love, you know me, I love Shady, so I'm a Shady guy. Too. You know, I would say no, but I would say close.
The reason why I'm asking is because everybody knows, and everyone was shocked this past year with Edgerrin James getting in. And his numbers are similar to Edgerrin James. And I'm like, well, I mean, does that make him a Hall of Famer? You know, especially since we're getting towards that path where the APs and the guys who are number one running back
right.
for 10-plus years. Because it's pretty much going to be Adrian Peterson, Frank Gore, and then who else? That's about it.
That was funny, too. Like, Frank Gore has had a great career.
Yeah.
But, like, I would rather have Shady than Frank Gore.
Frank Gore has always been on bad teams.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like the Ryan Fitzpatrick of running backs.
Yeah, that's a great point. I love it. Tennessee, right. Good stuff, baby. We got a poll?
Yeah, poll of the day brought to you by Marvin E. Cantz Heating and Air Conditioning. Marvin E. Cantz Heating and Air Conditioning is open and able to assist you with any emergency service and replacement needs, including installation of air scrubbers and other air quality products. Visit MarvinEcantz.com today. Two polls that we have up, one on at 975 middays. How are you feeling after the Eagles' 22-21 win over the Giants last night? There are three options. A win is a win. Both teams just suck. First win of three straight. Both teams just suck actually got majority of the votes. 46.4% of the vote. A win is a win is at 40.9%. And the first win of three straight, which is where I'm at, just 12.7%.
Really?
Yeah, just 12.7. I voted there. I'm way in the minority with that poll.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm kind of shocked.
Really?
Majority of people voting, both teams just suck.
Well, I mean, I think I'd actually be with you.
Yeah, I think they win the next two. And I think that win yesterday saved the locker room. If they lost, they would have been shot. It would have been done.
Well,
that that win last night, everybody's fired up.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you feel good.
Yeah.
And you got a long, you're going into the Cowboy game, man. That's got an effect.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the next time you see the Giants, they played you tight. They blew the game. And that's where I think talent overrides. And I think they win the next three in a row.
Yeah. And the other one was, are you thankful for Carson Wentz? Simple question. I'm glad that the majority are saying yes, he gives it his all, is at 87.6%. You would think some of the tenor of some calls and some tweets, but that's clearly a very loud vocal minority at just 12.4%.
Yeah, well, you know how it is.
And that's what we've been talking about today.
Yeah, well, I love this whole, you know, when we got to get deeper into it early next week, which is, you know, are you cool? And Steve, you know, I mean, he outed me. I have always been a big Favre guy.
Yeah, but I'm with you. I would prefer Favre than Ty Detmer.
Because I just like that kind of rugged play that, you know, let's go. I'm gonna do what I can. Try and leave it all on the field. I'm going to make every play count. And yeah, there are going to be times I turn the ball over and you're going to say, what are you doing? Get rid of the ball. You're going to say, why'd you throw that? And you're going to have no answer.
Trent Dilfer.
Because you're not just some system kid.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe, just maybe, again, if you actually had legitimacy around him for a long period of time, like a period of time where he can get comfortable with at least more than his center, because that's the only person he's been comfortable with since he's gotten here. And maybe, I don't know, you got something even more special.
10 more years of Wentz, Folgum, and Ward, please. How's that sound?
Yeah, I would like
at least four.
A little more. Upgrade.
Oh, you want 15? Oh, upgrade. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I mean, listen, I like Folgum, too. And give me the other guy.
Okay. Sounds good.
Next to those two.
By the way, you talked a lot of Wentz today. Show recap brought to you by Dietz and Watson. Dietz and Watson and family-owned heritage. Dairy stores who make their hoagies with premium Dietz and Watson meats and cheeses. To find the area's best hoagies, visit DietzandWatson.com.
All right, Josh, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Josh Aru.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, brother.
Good Carson, bad Doug seems to be the theme of the last couple weeks, win or lose, obviously, especially in the fourth quarter. I think Doug did everything he could to lose that game. And Carson had to overcome it. And the one thing that really triggered me was the non-challenge, which allowed, you know, the Giants to score to go up 21-10. And how many times, and this goes to his awareness, right? We already talked about it, on the fly, adjustments, blah, 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 right? As soon as that play happens, everybody and their mother can see that he was short, especially after the first of, what, five replays they showed?
Right.
So how many times when you watch a football game do you see a coach kind of on the hip of the ref, you know, waiting for the signal from upstairs saying, go ahead, challenge, and they basically drop the challenge flag on their shoelace,
right?
Doug just sits there, passive Doug, sitting 30 yards back from the play, and then when he gets it, he probably got it on time, has to throw it 20 yards, and no official is looking at him because they probably looked at him at the start, like, oh, I guess he's not going to challenge it, you know? That, like, you got to be on the hip of this ref going, hey, I'm waiting. All right, here we go. Wave it right in the face. We want it, right? That could and should have lost us the game, but we were playing the Giants, who are probably the second worst team in football. So, you know, he tried everything to do, tried everything to lose this game, and Carson had to overcome it. He played incredible in the fourth quarter. And one thing that I've loved seeing about Carson the last couple weeks is he's letting it rip. Like, when he tries to throw those touch passes out kind of ducky, it's almost like a golfer who, like, can't take anything.
He's like Koepka. Koepka. Yeah, he just blasts
it. They have to swing as hard as they can. Yeah. And when he does that, it's amazing.
I agree. And this is great stuff, brother. Great stuff. Football Friday brought to us by AAA. That's right. Wherever the open road takes you, take AAA. It's driven always by AAA. Well, man, that was too quick. All right. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. Have fun. Go relax. All right. Be careful. We'll come back Monday for Cowboys Week. Love you. Thanks for hanging.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.